Hey there, Internet. This is Shane Bettenhausen from Ignition Entertainment. You are listening to the Interactive Distractions Podcast, a bunch of nerds who make me feel cool.
Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 192. Hey. My name is Christopher Riccio. I'm here with that lovely voice, Jeff Chorney.
What up, guys?
And Mr. Travis Baum on the other end.
This better be a good show because I'm missing my So You Think You Can Dance finale.
Oh my God. And the thing is, he's probably not even joking either.
No, that show's pretty cool. A lot of hotties.
Actually, it is kind of fun to watch. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you.
Today we are talking to Mr. Shane Bettenhausen about El Shaddai and other things, Ignition. Before that, we're going to do distractions and news. Afterwards, we'll do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. Real quick, let's talk about what's going on this week. Jeff, what's up, buddy? How are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. Doing all right. You know, work's going okay. You know, today was kind of craziness. We won't get into that on this podcast, but I'll just say, you know, I got banned from a forum today, which is awesome.
Nice.
When I've been in a part of for like 4+ years or whatever.
One that is necessary for the creation of this podcast. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, true. And we're not gonna the name. I'm gonna say I love the guys that are there. One of them happens to be a douchebag. That's all. So whatever. It's unfortunate. But hey, other than that, having a great day. It's fucking awesome.
Hey, it's funny. I got demodded from that same forum.
Oh, I know. Yep. Love is in the air.
Yeah, totally. In the air. Jeff, I love you, man.
Yeah, I love you too, buddy. I love you, buddy. It's too bad, you know Hitler runs the site, but that's cool.
Next.
But Chris, anyway, what are you doing, man?
Pretty good. I mean, not much really going on. Same old stuff. Got my car's in the shop. That kind of sucks. I mean, that's all I got. I've been having issues where the car has half a tank of gas and my car thinks it ran out of gas. So they're trying to figure that out. They've had my car for almost a week. It kind of sucks.
Why are you driving your car?
What?
Why are you driving your car?
Why am I driving my car?
You got to scoot, man.
I can't always scoot around.
Why aren't you, you know, throwing out copies of magazines for fucking mobility tips for the elderly?
I mean, that was on the latest podcasting weekly. That was,
and that was awesome too.
I can't stop laughing at that picture.
I know it's awesome. but it's you know, it's I actually can't ride it at night because I only have a permit, so I need my car, and I'm sure as hell not going to ride in the rain because I don't feel comfortable doing that. So, you know, my car is necessary still.
Also, you'll be fucking wet.
What? No.
You said in the rain, driving in the rain.
Yeah, I don't want to ride in the rain because it's slippery as hell and I don't want to kill myself.
On your scooter?
On my scooter.
And that's what I'm saying, and you'll be fucking wet, of course.
Well, yeah, but I don't really care about that, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it. So, Travis, what's up?
Not too much, man. So, I watched a really, really cool little documentary on Netflix Instant Streaming. It's called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. Basically, okay. The guy was like overweight, he was sick, he had a bad condition of some weird rash thing, and he decided to do something about it, and so he went on this this trek around the country and just drink nothing but juice, like organic, real, like vegetable and fruit juice, and that's all he did for like 2 months straight. So, and it's a very, very inspiring movie. They gave reasons why people should do it to lose weight, and he also gave reasons for people to do it just to stay healthy and kind of cleanse the body, cleanse the mind and whatnot. So I went ahead and, I mean, I was inspired. So I wanted a juicer. So I almost took my birthday wish of Deus Ex off the table and say, hey, I want a juicer. My wife and I were looking around the house, kind of like cleaning, cause we're going to be taking on a roommate, a renter, soon. And we were cleaning out the house, making some extra shelf space. And we noticed that, we found our fine china that we received all boxed up. We never taken it out because we received of our four that we registered
so
for.
You sold it for a juicer?
Yeah, pretty much. Wait. So of the set of Fine China that we got registered for, we only received three. So it's like, what are we going to do with three quarters of a set of Fine China? Yeah. Let's see if we can return that joint back to Bed Bath & Beyond. So we hit up the Triple B.
This is on the Beyond point, apparently, right?
Beyond all the normal stuff like
past
the
bath,
you know, 800. Past the 800 thread count sheets and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Was my $200 juicer.
Jesus Christ, that you'll use for a week and never touch it again.
Fucking well, it's been a great week. No, it's awesome. I've been posted a video of it
yesterday.
Today. Yeah, I got it yesterday.
It's been a great week.
It's been awesome so far. I am totally cleansed. So, and I posted a video on today and everything, and I was like, I was acting all cool because I had my video. I was like, look at this apple juice I'm making, and I grounded up some carrots. I'm like, look at this, I'm gonna drink some carrot juice, and I drank it up
look
and I like, coughed it up because it was
I
gross.
Made, so I blended up some carrots. I don't think you're doing it right, man.
Well, you're supposed to like mix it all together and have different ingredients. They actually have really like original names for all the juices and whatnot. So, I mean, it's really cool. Like, and it's tasty and everything like that. There is something. There's a challenge that the guy put out because he doesn't say everybody should go on a 2 month nothing but juice, fast. Yeah. I mean, that would be ridiculous. I'd end up being like 110 pounds.
Yeah.
But what I do want to do is something that he sends out as kind of a challenge on his website is to have people do a 10 day juice fast. And I think I'm going to take it.
Yeah, good luck with that, man.
I think I'm going to take it. I'm going to try and do it. The way I'm seeing about it, because I know like about day two, I'm going to fucking hate everyone. But I'm also thinking about what would day nine be like? Like how awesome would that be? Like going to sleep on day nine being like, wow,
awesome.
I'm about to do this feat. Like this is about to happen. So I really want to go for that and everything. So I'll have to like, you know, go to the store and really shop for it and prepare for it and everything. So
I hope you do it. I'll pledge. You know what? If you're doing like a little pledge thing, I'll pledge the money. Or poll when you're going to give it up. Or because I'm not going to lie, man. Tony and I tried to do like a whole like juicing fucking fasting for whatever. And it is
I've heard of that.
Hell, it is the worst. Like it was worse for me than like I could quit smoking longer than I could probably stay on that fucking juice.
Yeah. There was one that I know a couple of guys that I work with were trying to do, and it's like you basically your meals are like water with water, lemon and honey mixed up, and then like every day you had to drink 32 ounces of salt water.
Oh, gross. Well, that's a little different, but
that's
disgusting.
That's borderline nuts.
What you're going to go through, though, Travis, is you're going to go through – everything's going to taste good when you're making your juices for, like, the first, like, 4 days. When you realize this is, like, every meal and every snack, and then after a while, everything you make in that thing, you are just going to loathe. You're going to be like, oh, God, it's, like, too pulpy. It's too gross. I'm chewing it.
Thing. It's not pulpy at all. Like, this is a really good juicer, zero pulp. And the cool thing about the pulp is, like, I'm also mixing it up with the caveman diet. So when I grind up, like, you know, kale and spinach and carrots and everything, I have this big jar of pulp left over. So what I do, I grill chicken in real butter, and I mix the pulp in there, and it makes this gray, like, almost like casserole with, like, whole chicken. It's awesome.
Great now, but if you're going to try to do the whole juice thing for 10 days, you're not going to be able to do that.
I know. I'm going to have a whole bunch of pulp. I'm going to have like just like stockpiles of pulp.
Stocked up.
It's going to look like the end of an Indiana Jones movie.
If you can pull it off. It is fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
Like, day three, you're going to want to kill somebody for a fucking carb.
Yeah, I know I'm going to kill I know I'm going to be hating everybody.
Or protein,
so I'm going to try to make like day 3 or 4 a Thursday when we edit. I'm going to try to make it like a day 3 or 4 is when like a Thursday when we actually have the podcast cuz I really want to see how that show's going to go.
Oh great. Yeah, cuz I want to have a miserable fucking Travis on the show.
Hey Jeff, I have the strange feeling that at about, you know, 15 20 minutes in the show,
can't do it, guys.
It's just going to be me and you cuz I'm going to fucking hang up on his ass.
And people listening is going to be, you know what, that was one of the most enjoyable Travis shows I've ever had. I gotta say, that was really good.
Hey, guys, let's talk about some games, man.
Why not?
Yeah. Travis, you're talking. Keep going.
Okay, more Saints Row
Don't
2.
Don't tell them that.
That game.
That Saints game. Row 2. Nice.
I didn't really talk about it last week because I was like, oh, it's Saints Row 2 and everything. But I have fallen in love with this game completely and everything. So I'm going to talk about it real quick. Okay. It is what Grand Theft Auto, in terms of fun factor and what like keeping me interested, and I even liked Grand Theft Auto 4. I know you guys had some reservations on it, but to me, this is what Grand Theft Auto should have been from the get-go. The whole trying to take the whole, you know, open world city, crazy Grand Theft Auto missions, but trying to keep it within the realms of, like, I guess you could say reality, but this, like, Saints Row 2 completely obliterates it. I mean, every mission, I didn't go through one mission being like, that was okay. Every mission was fun. Like, wow, they did something different. And they, and what Volition does, and they constantly do, they keep me wanting to go back for more. When I was playing like Grand Theft Auto, and I'll be honest with you, even with Red Dead Redemption, I was like, okay, I'm going to play a few minutes. Okay, I'm done. Let me go ahead and take a couple of days off.
Yeah.
You know, that's how I played those games. Even with Assassin's Creed, you know, that game's a big undertaking. So I would play it a couple of days. I would go like two on, two off. But when I have, you know, Saints Row, I just don't stop playing the game.
Because it's got something going for it that the other two games don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's fucking humor. Like, good humor and over-the-top ridiculousness.
And yeah. I'll tell you what.
Campy stuff. It's...
I have not been interested in the other Saints Row games, but ever since I started watching like videos for the third one, I am stoked for it.
They're really pushing three.
It looks great. Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah, totally.
But Saints Row 2, man, I'm all about it. I'm really digging it. Good fun. I picked back up Radiant Historia.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I stopped playing because I was stuck. Like, I got stuck like three times in a row within the span of a week. And I was like, oh, I'm starting to get frustrated. So I took some time off and I went back. And in going back to it, I remembered why I was getting frustrated. Okay. I'm stuck here. I don't know where to go. So I said, you know what? Let me just go ahead, swallow my pride, go check out a FAQ real quick. It took me 2 seconds. I found out where I needed to go. It wasn't a hard fix at all. And then right after that, the story kind of took off. It was one of those situations where, man, if I just played a little bit more, this game, I probably could have almost finished it. But I'm at the point now where it completely has taken off for me. So I'm back into it. It's kind of like my last hour in bed before I go to bed every night. It's dedicated to Radiant Historia, as I'm kind of drilling through that a lot more. And
you might be inspiring me to go back to it.
I'm really enjoying it more, Chris. Like, I think I'm enjoying it more now than I did when I first picked up the game. I can honestly say that. And I've actually have time reserved for it, and I know when I'm going to play it. So I'm getting every day I get myself hyped up. So, ooh, when I go to bed tonight, Radiant Historia. I can't wait.
What chapter are you on?
Chapter 2.
Okay, so I'm still a little bit ahead of you.
You're a little ahead of me, yeah. But okay. About halfway through chapter 2, really digging it. And I'm also glad I'm into it because in a couple of weeks I'll be heading off to Vegas. So I have like a 4 or 5 hour flight for our national conference for work to really jump into that. So I'll have something to play on the
flight. Nice.
Yeah.
Good deal, man.
But that is pretty much it. I did play the Madden demo. I don't want to talk about it right now. I'll do more next week.
Cool. Jeff, yeah. Games, go.
Street Fighter, AE, go. I honestly have not played nothing but Street Fighter.
Have you beat Catherine yet?
Nope, I haven't got back to Catherine or The Witcher 2 because I was so frustrated and I need a good calm down. Okay, I need to be in the mood to be frustrated for a bit and just get through it. And
you're at the end of the game, though.
Oh, I'm at the end of the very end of the game for both games, like literally the very end. Like, if I were to beat what I could not beat before, I maybe have 20 minutes of The Witcher 2, and probably I'm guessing Catherine has some long cutscenes at the end, so I'm guessing maybe 45 minutes away from Catherine, maybe. Wow. I don't know, but yeah, no, not yet. No, just play nothing. But I have no urge to play nothing but Street Fighter lately for some reason. Weird.
Okay.
It happens. Yeah.
Well, I haven't played much. But last week we were challenged, and I don't know if any of you guys got to that challenge.
I will get to it for sure. I've been in one of those moods. I go through this thing every year. I know we were talking about it on Twitter. I think Shadow Hado was mentioning, but like around this time every year, the motivation to play games gets really, really low. I'm not sure if it's just because there's nothing new coming out all the time or what it is, but I just kind of like meh. I'd rather just, you know, like, besides Street Fighter and stuff like that, I just cannot get the motivation to play games, really. I don't know what it is. But I will get there, because, yeah.
Well, you have no choice. You have no choice, Jeff.
You've been challenged, son.
Exactly. being turned down from a challenge.
So yeah, so that is the pretty much the only thing I played this week, and it's a pretty quick burn, so I haven't had a lot of game time, but Trauma for Steam, which was basically we got three codes from a listener, and they challenged us to basically after we started talking about kids not going back to older stuff and older people not eventually going to get to the point where they don't want to try newer stuff. The challenge was to try this new game that is like nothing I have ever seen. It's basically the concept is chick gets in a car crash and you are playing like you are navigating her dreams. And it's a really different way of doing things because it's all like photo driven. But it's stylized so that as you're navigating through the world, you're navigating via like different photos and you click on where you want to go and it kind of pushes you over there. And then it has this like Okami style, like drawing on the screen where you can do different things by drawing these symbols. So there's like different objectives in each of the four dreams. And the main objective is to get through, the happy path of the dream. And then each dream has three like alternate paths that you can go through. And there's like collectibles, basically like little Polaroids that you can find that will give you a little backstory on the character and give you a little bit more, it'll show you like a way to do like different moves that you can do, like different things you can paint. And it will also give you hints on how to find the alternate endings of each of the other stages. So it's a really interesting concept. And like there's one where one of the dreams is she's supposed to follow the arrows and the arrows lead her down a road and like into a bridge that has a wall and you have to figure out how to get through that wall. And you can find hints like in other areas of the world. So it's a really interesting concept and it's so hard to explain because I've never played anything like this before. But as Travis would say, I was challenged and I conquered that shit. I found all the alternate endings and I found every photo on each stage. It was a really, really cool experience. It took me maybe about, 2 to 3 hours, something like that. And, it was just really neat. The game is on Steam for like $7. I'd like to see it a little bit more of an experience. Cause right now I feel like I'm done, it's like, right. I put two hours or so into the game and I found all of the alternate endings and I found all the photos and I feel like $7 is a little bit steep for that, but not really. Cause this is very, very unique. The only negative thing that I have to say about this game is that the female voice actor kind of sounds like a robot. I mean, her every word that she says is very deliberate. You know what I mean? But I mean, outside of that, this is a very unique experience that was really cool and I enjoyed it. So if you have like $7 burning in a hole in your pocket, try Trauma out because I thought it was really cool. I'm really looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say about it because it is definitely like nothing you've ever played before.
Yeah, I'll try it out for next week and everything. And as a quick personal aside, Jeff kind of called me out on it and everything after we recorded. But yeah, we accidentally called Christian, who's the developer of Trauma, in the female form, I guess. We kept on saying her and she and everything. So a quick apology to Christian, who is a righteous dude, as we say, with a great taste in podcasts.
that's pretty much it. As I said, if you guys go check, I think there might be a trial. I don't remember. But go check it out. It's pretty neat. It's pretty neat. That's it. Let's talk about some news.
Yeah. All right. You want to hear some news?
We each got something. So
we do. Let's start with some kind of good news first, I guess.
Okay, I love good news.
You know how Microsoft and Xbox 360 have their Summer of Arcade?
Sure.
Yeah, they do.
Well, Sony kind of announced their their kind of take on that. It's going to be called the PlayStation Network Play.
Whoa!
That's what they're calling it. It's crazy, I know.
F you, Xbox. Whoa. Bring in the big guns.
Summer of Arcade. That sounds retarded. PlayStation yeah. Play sounds so much better.
Oh, of course. Definitely. Especially when you got... Well, actually, they have some good games in here. But there is one problem with them. But first game, it starts August 18th. Actually, no, sorry. It starts August 23rd. The first game is going to be Street Fighter III, Third Strike Online Edition.
All right.
What up? The second game is going to be called The Baconing, which is the...
The Baconing?
It's... What's it called? The Death's Bank. Death's Bank sequel.
Oh,
it's
okay,
interesting,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that one again. Blood Rain Betrayal. We had
what?
Those guys on a couple weeks ago. That's going to be September
6th. That explains a lot.
Mm-hmm. Renegade Ops, which will be released on September 13th. So doing the same thing like 1 week for like a 4 week span is going to have like a new game.
And each one is a timed exclusive, it looks like. Or it's either exclusive or timed exclusives.
They're not timed exclusives. The only reason they're exclusive is because they come out on the Tuesday on PSN and on the Wednesday they come out on Xbox.
Well, because I heard Blood Rain got delayed till October.
That might be... Well, really? That might be the case for that, but Street Fighter's still coming out on the Wednesday of that week. What's it called? The Baconing... Death's Bank still coming out on the Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Same with Ringing 8 off. So maybe.
Well, that's
maybe
not. That's not exciting at all.
Well, it's still kind of, well, here's what is kind of not necessarily exciting, but you can actually pre-order these games on PSN.
So
you can actually go there now. You have up until August 18th to pre-order Street Fighter 3. And what you get from that, you're like, why would I pre-order? What's the point of pre-ordering a downloadable game? You get usually something free with something. You'll get like a free theme. Or some kind of piece of DLC content that's kind of exclusive, or that would usually be paid for. You'll get that for free. Also, PSN Plus subscribers get all these games, which are retail priced at like $14.99, basically $15. You get them for $11.99. So you get like the PSN Plus.
Is that
discount.
If you pre-order, or is that just
that's
in general?
That's anything. That's even if you're just buying them.
Okay.
If you buy all four of them, you get. A voucher for what's that game called? We're doing an interview. This is terrible. We're doing Ace is doing an email interview with them. The Heist. The Heist. You get that for free, but only if you're 18 or over. So I don't know how they're gonna keep an eye on that.
That's interesting because I'll be honest with you. Street Fighter III, I do not have in any form.
Yeah.
So that might be a buy for me. Blood Rain is definitely a buy for me. I actually liked Death Spank, so that's a possibility. And what was
that
the other one?
That basically made Renegade Ops. Renegade Ops was the other one.
Okay, we'll have to see how that works out.
There's some extra. The bonus one for Street Fighter 3, if you pre-order, is you get to play a playable Gil. Gil is the boss character from Street Fighter 3, Third Strike. From the Baconator, the Baconing.
Death Spank, the Baconator.
You get additional co-op character, co-op skin, Risha. And for Blood Rain, you get a Betrayal virtual item for their PlayStation Home avatar, an exclusive dynamic theme. Well,
ooh.
I can Hoogies that, but yeah, whatever. And then for Renegade Ops, you'll get a vehicle and character pack with two new vehicles and special weapons. So that's what you get for pre-ordering them. And each game you have up to, it looks like about 5 days prior to release where you can pre-order them for.
Okay. Word.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. Either way, like I mean, that basically swayed me for definitely Blood Rain and definitely Renegade Ops because that does like kind of cool that what platform you get them on. Because if I can get them for a couple bucks cheaper just because they're on PS Plus, may as well. Because everyone right now is on PlayStation Plus because you get it because of their I'm sorry we fucked up program. So
are is that still going? Do people still have PS Plus?
I thought that was gone.
Was it
2 months? Was it only 1 month? Or
they only gave them 1 month.
It was 1 month, but then they extended it a month. But it's been more than 2 months, hasn't it?
Yeah, and it's been actually pretty. I think August might be the third month.
Yeah.
But I bought a 3 month. Oh, maybe that's why. But I got extended to 5 months because I bought a 3 month subscription to it. That makes sense.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, but either way, you know, you got four games in 4 weeks that you got discount on if you're interested, and you'll get a free game after that if you're 18 or over.
Yeah.
If you're not, you know, parental consent, all that kind of garbage. You know, for you.
Cool.
What do you?
Well, let's stay on that Sony tip. What do you think?
All right, man,
jump on it.
All right, so this is actually kind of shitty news though. We started with the good. We're gonna get to the bad, and it's not really shitty news, but it's just weird. So the new firmware kit. All right. And the new PS3 firmware has some pretty cool features. Like, one of the things that everyone was complaining about when they said that they were going to have cloud saving is that it's not automatic, right? You have to actually go and select the save data
every time you have to go select
the save data, and you have to say, save this to the cloud. Well, now it's automatic with 3.7. All you have to do is, I think you have to go to the save data and say, I want this to auto save.
Or if you play the first game after this update, it'll actually ask you when you start the game. It'll say, I did play a little bit of Killzone 3, and the first thing I did when I popped it in after downloading the update and everything, it asked me, it said, hey, if you want, you can have this saved to like a virtual space as opposed to on your hard drive. Would you like to do this for this save game? Mm-hmm. And I went to no, because like, I'm not going to be transferring Killzone 3 anywhere. So.
Okay.
But yeah, that's kind of cool.
The other cool thing is that, like, one of the biggest problems that everyone's talking about with trophies is that they don't sync automatically. Well, they're still not going to sync automatically, but they will sync nightly, but only if you're a PS Plus member, because only PS Plus members have the automatic update stuff. Yeah.
They're the only ones who deserve that, Chris. Get it right.
No, it's like, so this automatic update thing is, for those who don't know, you can set it up so that your PS3 will turn on at a specific time each day and download specific things that you want. Like, if there is a firmware update, it will download the firmware update, and then it won't automatically apply it because you have to agree to the terms of service, but it'll already be downloaded. If like updates to games that you play will automatically download and install, that kind of thing. So now this automatic update is now apparently syncing trophies as well. Mm-hmm. But again, it's only for PS Plus subscribers.
Well, Chris, I would love to comment on this, but I have a feeling we're going to talk about this a little bit later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the long short of it, though, really is that they said, okay, we fucked up. We gave you this PlayStation Plus for free. Here it is, buddy. So then they say, hey, it's over. You're probably not going to be a PS Plus member anymore. But just to let you know,
we added these features.
Making it better. So if you like it, we're making it better. Just pay us more money, please.
Dude, I haven't synced my trophies in forever. I'm just scared too, because it takes a long time.
It does take a long time. It does.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, what else we got?
I got something. This is not huge news, but it's interesting. We all know that Rock Band 3, Harmonix with Rock Band and the entire series has been in bed with MTV EA. Games.
Yeah, which is
for the longest time,
and
for a really long time. Yeah, they got dropped. Oh,
they got dropped.
And it's sad. Yeah, they got dropped by MTV Games a while ago, and it was kind of sad. Harmonix is a great developer. They don't deserve just to be let go like that. So they were actually fishing around for some indie labels. A couple of people showed some interest, but in the end, they ended up falling with Mad Catz, of all people. If anyone who doesn't know, they're the guys who make all the instruments, and also like they make gamepads, joysticks, and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but they don't publish games. No.
So they're actually jumping into the game publishing business.
Interesting.
Yeah, exactly. And they're saying they're wanting to push Rock Band 3 and re-release it for this holiday season and beyond. So they're looking for maybe like even taking a hold of the Rock Band franchise into the future, maybe to even like Rock Band 4 or whatnot. So that is yet to be seen and everything. But later this year, they're going to bundle Rock Band 3 and re-release it with the wireless keyboard controller, and then another package with the Fender Stratocaster, and then another bundle with the wireless Fender Pro Guitar. So just three new versions of Rock Band 3 coming out and everything. So, and we all know that the DLC was going to continue to keep pumping. We knew that was going to happen for a fact, but it's good to see that they're going to be putting the game right back out there for the holiday season. Maybe people who haven't adopted it yet will jump into it, especially since there's no Guitar Hero.
No Guitar Hero. That's a good point. I still don't have a second guitar. You know, I would love to get the Pro Guitar and use that. That would be really cool. I don't even
get Guitar Hero ones, man. They're way better anyway.
Agreed.
I don't even have the one that automatically like calibrates for you. So I've got like the old school like Rock Band 1 guitar. And the Rock Band 2 guitar is significantly better than the Rock Band 1 guitar. So and the auto calibration is really cool too. So
right. I really hope they re-release the drums though. Because there's a lot of people who don't have the drum. I mean, even at work, they're like people coming in on the reg just being like, hey, guys, like we don't have any drums. Like, do you have drums? Like, no, we haven't seen those in years. So it's like.
Yeah, I got lucky with that, I think. I got a deal at Micro Center. I got the Rock Band 2 drums for, what was it, like $30? Brand new? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had them all. They had like all. They were trying to clear up shelf space. And what do you get rid of? You get rid of giant peripherals first. And,
yeah.
You know, that's what they did. So they were. I think I'm pretty sure I got it for like $30, maybe $40.
Yeah. So. I mean, it's the Rock Band 3 is a hit. It's still one of the better party games and everything. And after they got dropped, they were like that little locomotive, just looking for a track to carry them on.
Dude. Speaking of that, like that's something I did the past week is I went to my old, a couple of my buddies went to my old stomping grounds of a bar. Like, we used to go to all the time when I lived in my old place with roommates and shit. Mm. And it happened to be on a night when they had Rock Band night. And I totally forgot how fun that game is with a bunch of people and just like.
No doubt.
Partying out. It was so fucking fun. It was awesome. And maybe it got me, the bug bit me again. I'm like, now I want to get like a Rock Band night going or something like that.
You totally killed my transition, but it's okay.
No, I'm sorry.
Well, on that front, I actually did play Rock Band this week a little bit, but not enough to make a difference. But yeah, I miss playing it. We used to, when Rock Band 2 came out, we used to have Rock Band nights every Friday, and we don't do that anymore. So there you go. Travis, what else you got?
I refuse to say the who gives a shit because Jeff ruined my transition.
How did I ruin your transition?
Because I was all about talking about how Rock Band was this little locomotive that wish it could do all its cool stuff, and they were just looking for that track
to rails.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That
would
have been gold, too.
It would have been gold. Gold. So guess what, everybody? Yeah,
Fable's
it's still on rails, and you can't do melee or fucking range attacks.
Who gives a shit?
God damn it, Jeff!
You still kind of went with it, dude. You could have just transitioned from that.
Speaking of on track,
instead of freaking whining, it's been like, yeah, I'd be like, oh, anyway. Well, so you used to be like, so you got on track with the Rock Band? I'd be like, yeah, I got on track with the Rock Band. I'd be like, oh, cool. And go right.
No, I had a one-track mind.
I see what
for
you did
my
there.
For my segue. So
this is all moot because it's already passed.
I know. All right, guys,
back up the track. Start again.
Let's take a break.
All right,
we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk to Mr. Shane Bentenhausen about El Shaddai, which comes out tomorrow. If you're listening to this on Monday. Then we're going to do some new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back. It's time to wake up. We'll be right back. And welcome back.
You're welcome back.
Thanks, Jeff. Joining us once again, our most recurring industry guest, Mr. Shane Bentenhausen. Shane, how you doing, man?
I'm surviving. It's been kind of a crazy week here as we get ready for the launch of El Shaddai. I just ran across town from another podcast, but I'm very proud to be the most frequent guest on your show. That's quite a feat. It's like Alec Baldwin hosting Saturday Night Live the most times. You
know? it's right up there with that, actually.
When we got a little canteen boy action coming up soon too. So just wait for that.
Shane, that voice is Travis, because both times that you've been on, you spoke with Jason. Jason is now handling all of our video stuff. So Travis has joined us for the audio podcast.
Hi.
Travis has a face for video. Jason's got the face for radio.
Face for radio.
Nice to meet you.
Well, Shane, before we get started, why don't you, tell us a little bit broad about El Shaddai and, what you do at Ignition Games, that kind of thing.
So, yeah, I've been here at Ignition for a little over 2 years, and primarily, my job in the past has been finding the games, finding the developers and finding games. But for El Shaddai, because I'm so kind of close to this project, I've taken over the PR, and I've been helping with the marketing on it too, because it's kind of the game that drew me to join this company so many moons ago. And I really feel like it's a game that requires a lot of explanation and understanding. So I wanted to be sure that I was there to do it. And in a nutshell, El Shaddai is a character action game developed in Japan based on the Book of Enoch, which is part of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which are kind of this biblical apocrypha, an alternate Old Testament that got deleted along the way. And we thought that would be a really cool premise for a game and something that most people wouldn't dare to make. There's lots of games based on Greek and Roman, Japanese, Norse mythology, but very few based on Western mythologies and legends. So we set out to make this game, and we chose to have this guy named Sawaki Takeyasu, who had previously worked at Clover Studios with Capcom on Okami, DMs, Devil May Cry 1. We worked on Steel Battalion. We really loved his art in Okami, and we thought that art style, a similar kind of art style, would work really well for what we were trying to do with El Shaddai. So when we approached him initially to be the art director, he thought it'd be really cool for this to be the first game he ever actually directs. Because he'd worked on lots of games, but he never actually headed one up. So,
oh, interesting.
And this was right when Clover was breaking up. So he brought a few of the other guys from Clover and made a new team in Tokyo of about 65 guys and set out to kind of adapt the Book of Enoch and make it something that was a little more modern and accessible and game-like, but without totally changing the story. But we wanted to give him a lot of freedom to, to kind of come up with the way it should look and the way it should play. And yeah, when I first got to it 2 years ago, it was already had started development very, very early, and I could already tell that it was something that was very special and the kind of game that I've always wanted to work on. So yeah, El Shaddai is definitely the game of all the games we've done here at Ignition that I've worked on. There's a lot of good ones. I love Deadly Premonition. I love Muramasa, but yeah, El Shaddai is the one. Yeah. This is kind of the battle I've been wanting to fight for 2.5 years. It's totally awesome that it's finally coming out in North America. So
and I saw the I saw you tweet the first review actually went out, or I guess it's going to be in the next Game Informer.
Yeah, so the print reviews are starting to come out, and Game Informer, we're getting 2 9s in PTOM.
Wow.
The official PlayStation magazine gave us a 9.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Good.
Sci-Fi magazine gave us an A+. I mean, and for me to see other people getting it is awesome, because it's a game that some people are going to look at it and it's just going to be too strange for a huge chunk of the populace, because they're just going to look at it and the art style is very abstract. So for journalists, these many journalists to be clued into to liking this kind of art, it's very encouraging for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. And I did see that when it came out in Japan, I know Famitsu gave it a 34 out of 40, yeah, something like that.
Two nines and 2.8s. Japan, it ultimately, it sold pretty well for a new IP from a Western publisher. We were happy with how it did. And there's a lot of other products in Japan. There's a manga, which has started. There's toys the Bandai are putting out. So there's lots of other kind of extensions to the brand already happening in Japan.
That's really cool.
I actually think it can do better in North America and in Europe, because these are bigger markets, and I think in Japan, the 360 version never had a chance because it's, you know, it's Xbox.
Well, exactly. Yeah.
It's Xbox. It's in Japan. And that boils it down to it.
So I kind of explained the premise, but the actual game itself, when you're playing it, it's a mixture of like a 3D action game like Bayonetta or DMC. But then at some points, the game shifts to a strict 2D side-scrolling perspective, kind of like New Super Mario Brothers. And then there's even, like I showed, there's a driving level, which is totally different. So, you know, as you play through the game, you're kind of constantly encountering new art styles and new gameplay styles, even sometimes within the same level. So that's one of the ideas that Sawaki had, was at any point, you know, the game is going to be changing and the world that you're exploring is constantly shifting and changing too. So it's kind of a treat, just like as you're going through a level, just to kind of like stop and look around and look at how bizarre and weird these environments are that you're exploring.
Now, the whole thing with the way that you guys shift from 3D to 2D in the game, I found that really interesting, and like the most recent game that I played that did something like that is actually really recent, and that was Alice. Because in one of the chapters, there's actually there's like little sections that turn the game into a 2D platformer. Yeah.
Right.
What's the motivation for something like that? I mean, how do you guys determine, hey, let's change things up, let's do this?
Right. So yeah, it was about a year and a half ago when I was in Tokyo looking at the game being developed, and at that point, the side-scrolling level that's actually in the demo, the board where it's like these big waves of clouds that you're kind of walking across. Like, they had just made that level. And at that point, that was the only 2D part of the game. And we all thought it was really pretty and cool. And it opened up kind of these new possibilities of level design. And it was also simpler. Like, you know, you didn't really have to like concentrate on the combat as much in these levels. It's more about platforming. And, you know, at that point, Sawaki was like, hey, I'd like to put more of this in the game. Do you think it'll fly in the West? And I'm like, yeah, totally. Because at this point, you know, New Super Mario Brothers had kind of reignited just the pure 2D platformer. And like everybody grew up running and jumping. And it's like, you know, it's just a gameplay concept that's very universal. And I thought, yeah, like, we should just go to town, make more of these, make as many of these levels as you can. And it's partially why the second half of the game is actually much more heavily weighted with the 2D stuff. Mm-hmm. All told, about, you know, 35% of the game is side scrolling. And
wow.
It gets to be more complicated. You know, there's puzzles, there's combat in those. There's a lot of verticality later in the game. And, you know, we wanted a game with lots of jumping because I think a lot of modern games kind of took jumping away. So, yeah, there's definitely tons of platforming. And towards the end of the game, it gets really pretty crazy in terms of some of the jumps that you have to make. You actually have to really think about them, you know? So, yeah. And I love that other games are doing that. Like, I hadn't seen the 2D level in Alice. I actually only played the first few parts of that. I need to get back to it. But, you know, Epic Mickey had a lot of cool 2D parts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even, like, Shadows of the Damned has like, a few little cool...
Yeah.
Tiny 2D parts. So
yeah, those little shoot 'em up parts with that paper craft type graphical style was really good change of pace. And I like games that do that and everything like this. So I'm really excited about El Shaddai doing that as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So I'm really happy because even I had never seen the last two levels of the game until it was pretty much finished in Japan. So I was happy that even I was surprised by some of the stuff. And that's why we really didn't show most of the second half, because we wanted to try to keep it fresh, you know, because there's nothing worse than having seen every level of the game by the time you get it home. So I definitely, like, as I'm saying, like, yeah, once it comes out next week, you might want to avoid looking at anything that comes out, you know, if you're trying to stay spoiler free, because there are screenshots alone that would spoil plot things from this game. You
know? Well, I know that there was like a lot of, like, some of the 2D stuff that I saw, there's a lot of quirky stuff in there that obviously has a lot of Japanese influence on it. Like, for instance, there's a Nephilim running around with a hula hoop.
And, oh, yeah, that level, like the Nephilim level, that's the one where the game just suddenly takes a really cute, bizarre,
yeah,
insane twist. And that level is actually the first one that's probably, you know, most of it is platforming and a lot of it gets kind of tricky. So that's... Yeah, that one kind of weeds out the people who can't do the really tough jumps. So, when you start the game, you know, you want to play easy or normal, and easy is very easy, and normal is kind of hard. So if you're somebody who thinks you're going to have trouble with combat or jumping, you should probably start the game on easy.
Right. Was localization an issue?
Well, no. So, you know, in the past, localization has been something that we haven't always been the best at in terms of our voice acting. So with this game, we wanted to get it right. And it was actually done in London. And because of that, a lot of the actors have British accents. And I think it actually kind of gives it this cool feeling. But the most important role in the game is actually Lucifel. And he's like kind of your guardian and your guide throughout the game. And he has the most lines. So we cast Jason Isaacs from Harry Potter as Lucifel.
Oh, wow.
He does a great job. He plays Lucius Malfoy.
Lucius, yeah.
Yeah, huh. So... he really owns it. But yeah, overall, I think this is our best localization. But I do think that prepare for a story that is told in a way that's a little oblique, and there's some big holes that were left in the story on purpose by design that the Sawaki wanted the player to either fill in by imagining what they think might have happened, or by like diving into the Book of Enoch, the real ancient texts, and trying to like kind of figure out the missing pieces. So yeah, I kind of compare the storytelling to it's a little bit Metal Gear, not quite as kind of abstract as Metal Gear's storytelling, but it's not something where the first time through you might completely understand every single element of what's going on. So it's a bit of a mystery that you kind of have to solve.
How closely did you work, or like you as in Ignition USA, work with the Japanese team to create the game?
Well, so the initial concept for the game actually came from our London studio. But then once they gave it to Sawaki and his team, they really let them run with it. But then at a certain point in development where the game actually came together enough to where you could play through it, at that point we started helping them to balance it and to give kind of our feedback on your tweaks they could make to some of the design. So it was collaborative, but we kind of let them work in a bubble for about a year as they figured out exactly what they wanted to do. And then we kind of helped them to balance it for a global audience. Yeah. But we didn't want this game to be a game that's designed by committee, because I think that's a problem with lots of games. That's why every game looks the same. You know, like everyone just kind of follows what everyone else is doing. So we didn't want there to be like some real originality that came from the team itself. So I think had we gotten our paws in there at the very beginning and told them exactly what we wanted them to do, we probably wouldn't have gotten something as cool.
Now, this is a new... kind of a new venture for Ignition, right? I mean, you guys are usually, you know, you localize and publish games, but this is actually, as you said, this is an Ignition, like an Ignition idea. Like you guys are like doing the entire life cycle of this game.
Anything else we've ever published has been something we picked up, you know, that had already been developed by a team in Japan or in Europe or in North America, and we just brought it to market. Where you're right, this is an idea that we had. We formed the team to make it, and you know, I think it's really exciting because we've never had something like this before. Our next game like this is Dragon's Crown, which we announced at E3, which is with Vanillaware, and that was also you know, one of the, I knew that was a concept back when I first started, and it's been cool to work with them on that too. So yeah, this is definitely, you know, for me, working really closely on a new idea with the creator who's doing it. This has been, you know, me living the dream in terms of actually getting my hands on a game development. So it's been really cool.
So needless to say, it's a much different experience from what you're used to, and you're very much enjoying it. Yeah,
I am, but it's been educational. And I think like even in the press, working in the press for 10 years, you think you understand everything that goes into development and publishing. And there's so many things to learn. And yeah, it's been really educational. And I hope that everybody can, when they play the game, can come to it with like an open mind, and I'm really excited to see what just like regular people think of this game.
Very cool. Now you talked a lot about the art director and how he like stylized this game and how beautiful it is and that kind of thing. Now you said you had them in, they were in a bubble for a year. Did any of the stylization change? Did the presentation change at all when you guys actually got in? What kind of design changes were made as far as that goes?
You know, the overall look of the levels had been pretty firmly established. There were a few small tweaks to character designs throughout, but, you know, we pretty much left a lot of even like the weirder designs as is. Like when I first saw Enoch, you know, he's so asymmetrical and his armor is so weird. And it took me a while to kind of like come to terms with him. And I think initially we wanted to push back and make him more symmetrical, but Sawaki was very steadfast that he wanted him to be asymmetrical. And the armor had, there was a reason the armor is shaped the way it is. And so, yeah, you know, he would stand his ground. And a few of the tweaks, I think it's just the bigger tweaks were like, you know, adding more things to break. You know, we play one level of the game, but like, okay, in this level of the game, there should be more things for you to break open and get health out of, you know, or this part of the game is too hard. You need to make this guy do less damage. It was really more balancing functionality gameplay things that we really wanted to change, because, you know, Sawaki's an artist, and if you tell him, hey, I want this guy's hair to be a different color, you know
that's not his vision,
right? Yeah. Or for example, like he decided that one of the fallen angels should be a female. And that's a change he actually came up with like halfway through development. And, you know, in the Bible and in the Book of Enoch, there is no gender for these angels. So that was one where, you know, he decided that in his vision and his interpretation of this, it made more sense for this character to be a woman. And in the final game, it really does work that way. And that's a pretty controversial choice. But yeah, that's kind of indicative of like one where we could have probably pushed back on him, but I think it ends up making the game actually cooler.
Okay. But with it being so stylized, is marketing more challenging for you?
It's been a real challenge. And I'll say we didn't actually start marketing the game until after E3. And it's also a challenge because, you know, this game does have religious connotations and it has this religious source material, but we don't want to push it as a religious game. This isn't like, you know, a Wisdom Tree Noah's Ark game for NES or like Praise Hero for, you know, for PC. happens to be inspired by this ancient biblical text, which isn't canon, which isn't taught in any churches in America.
Right.
And I think if you are somebody who's a really fundamentalist, hardcore Christian, that you might come to this thinking that it's going to offend you or that it's going to like challenge your belief system. But I think it's actually just going to, you know, show you something you might not know all about and make you want to go research like why there's a different version of the Bible and how your Bible that you know got to be. And I think it's incredibly interesting and very few games actually encourage the user to learn something. And I think this game has a lot of potential for that.
Very cool. The one thing that I would say about that is, I mean, it doesn't seem like this would be much different than like God of War using Greek mythology. I mean, it's just you're using a different mythology to create the story behind your game. That's right. What it looks like to me. So,
and I'll say there's some cool things. Like when I was playing through it, I thought there were elements that Sawaki had added of his own reconnaissance, and like they were things that didn't make sense. Like there's a point in which a goddess from Babylonian mythology shows up, and I was like, well, this couldn't have been in the Book of Enoch. And then it turns out after we talked to this theologian that, yeah, like actually this Babylonian goddess is totally in the Book of Enoch, and the Book of Enoch was aware of these other pantheons, and that's part of why, you know, it got deleted actually. So, and there's some really interesting turns it take, you know, and for example, like Enoch is the father of Methuselah, you know, and if you read your Bible, Methuselah is like the oldest living person that ever lived. And I'll say like that actually takes, you know, that's part of the game. So there's things like, if you know your Bible, you'll start to ask like, whoa, okay, this is crossing over into the Bible stories I know. And I think that's really interesting.
Yeah. And speaking of longevity and everything, JG92, one of our listeners from across the pond in the United Kingdom, wanted to ask us real quick, is there a new game plus? And then also a second question he also asks, will the trophies and achievements or the trophs and chivos have a significantly difficult curve?
So there is not exactly New Game Plus. However, in order to play the two hardest difficulty levels, you have to beat the game first on either easy or normal. And when you beat easy or normal, you unlock some stuff for each of those. And once you play through the game once, you can actually unlock a HUD. And you've seen like the game has no HUD currently.
Right.
Like, when you play it the first time, that's by design. We want you to like pay attention to the graphics and the story, and everything is contextual that you would need to be told. But if you're a hardcore guy, you might want to know when you're doing a 100-hit combo like during the game. So once you beat it once, you can turn on a HUD, and you also turn on a ranking system where it gives you a really detailed ranking report at the end of every level, so you can go back and replay and, you know, go for the leaderboards. There's also some hidden items in the levels that are really, really, really hard to get to. There are actually hidden levels in the levels. And if you want to get the best unlockables, you have to actually collect all these things. And the odds of you getting all those things your first time through is pretty impossible. So that does kind of carry over to your next game. So you can go back and get all those things. And you unlock some different kind of outfits. And yeah, there's definitely lots of reasons for replay. And as soon as I finished the game on normal, I wanted to check out hard because I played hard a little bit in Japan, and I knew it wasn't just a matter of like enemies doing more damage. The enemy AI is actually really different and super aggressive, and they'll use different moves. So I think for hardcore players, playing hard and extra hard is going to be like the real game, actually.
So there's easy, normal, hard, and extra hard?
Yeah, that's okay. Basically it. And your second question was trophies and achievements. And I'll say the lion's share of the trophies in this game are actually secret. And that's kind of annoying for some people, but some of them are really crazy hard. Like, one of the ideas is when these angels came down from heaven to earth, they brought a bunch of weapons that the angels fight with them to give to their followers. And Enoch goes down to Earth with no weapons. And one of the things he's tasked with is to bring back all of the stolen wisdom that the angels gave the humans. So if you actually steal every single weapon from every single enemy in the game, that's a trophy. And wow. I've not done that.
Huh. Now, speaking of that, like, this isn't actually a question. I kind of want how you would describe it or explain how this works. Because we're big fans of games like Bayonetta, God of War, Devil May Cry, all that stuff. The first time I played the demo, I had a hard time with the combat. Not because it was too hard, but I found I couldn't break through the opponent's guard. I didn't know how to do it, like when to do it. And is there kind of a certain like flow people should be? Now I know because Chris kind of explained to me some stuff.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the demo, because it's from level 3, at that point, you know, normally you've been doing melee combat for like an hour and a half at that point. And with the arch, like kind of the sword weapon, there's a really simple guard breaker, which is just like attack, pause, attack. And there's a rhythm to it. And it's different for the other two weapons. But like, every weapon has a guard breaker. And the way the combos is because we pared down the controls to have one attack button, one jump button, one block button, and kind of a modifier. You know, it's hard when you first start playing to like figure out how to do the different moves, how to link them all together in a fluid way. But it's as you play through those first two levels, you're kind of figuring out the timings, figuring out the context, and usually, yeah, you'd be able to do all those things on that level. So I think that's a lot of people jump into like, oh, the combat's too limiting, or it's, you know, like, I can't figure out how to do the moves, I can't figure out how to dodge. And the game actually does a great job of kind of teaching you those things incrementally as you play. So I think in the real game, you'll be better at the combat.
All right, cool. Right now, I just suck at it.
Yeah, for me, like, it suddenly clicked. And when it clicked, I was like, I was amazing. I was a badass all of a sudden. I was like, oh, that's how I do it. And I think there's kind of this aha moment as you're playing the game.
Yeah, when I was playing the demo, gotcha. It's like all of a sudden I accidentally, well, it wasn't really accidentally. I guess I was trying to pull off a counter or something like that. But I held guard and didn't attack. And all of a sudden he does a launcher. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
And now I'm starting to understand and got into it that way.
And I'll say, like, one of the weapons, the projectile, the Gale, like, it's not my favorite. And the first time through, I didn't use it much. Second time through, I started using it more. But even after that, I'd been at shows, like, I think it was another PAX East 3, where somebody showed me a combo that I had never seen, and I'd beaten the game twice. I was like, oh, okay, how'd you do that? It's kind of hard, because, like, you'd be like, well, I pressed the buttons in this time.
Huh.
And
it's,
you
like,
know,
fighting game accuracy type shit, like, yeah, timing.
It definitely is. There's a bit of a fighting game kind of feel to it. And I think if you're someone who's intrinsically good at DMC or good at Bayonetta, you will be able just to pick this up and your skills do carry over. You know?
So do you open up new combos as you go through?
You do. You will kind of unlock like a second level of attacks with the weapons. And we haven't shown much of that. And there are, like, later in the game, there are some different means of attack. But I don't kind of want to spoil them.
Yeah. Now, you kind of mentioned the different weapons. How many different styles of combat are there? Because each weapon has like a different style of combat to it. So like the first two that you show in the demo are the arch and the other one that you were mentioning. And one, the arch is more your melee weapon, and the other one was like a projectile weapon. How many different weapons do you kind of get?
There really are only the three central types, and that's kind of by design. The third one being called the Veil, and it's a defensive weapon. It's these gauntlets, and we wanted it to be kind of this Pokemon rock paper scissors thing, because most of the guys you're fighting, well, not all, but like a lot of the guys you're fighting are people with these same weapons, and there's always one that's good against another one and weak against another one. And when you fight three guys who each have the three weapons, it's kind of an order of operations. If you know what's, you know, kind of know how they work together, you'll know how to take them out effectively. And I say, like, those weapons do kind of unlock a second level, and then like later in the game there is some other stuff, but this isn't a game with like 100 weapons, and like we really wanted you to master those three weapons, because when you equip one, you can only have one, so it's a big decision. And it also changes all of your physics. It changes like your running speed, your jumping height, your dodge move. So yeah, it's really, we kind of want you to relearn Enoch with each weapon.
Okay, the demo itself ends right at a boss, and one of the things that I was hoping,
he's not a boss, he's a regular enemy. In fact,
like, oh really,
5 minutes later you fight two of him.
Oh my god.
When you see the actual bosses, the bosses are much more insane in this game. Yeah.
Now, will you get to steal their weapons?
You do not get to steal the boss weapons. On the real bosses, actually, we let you choose your weapon. Because just in case you got there with like a weapon that's totally terrible against that boss, we wouldn't want you to get stuck there. So in the boss encounters and in the 2D levels, actually, we let you choose your weapons too. Because, there, for example, like one weapon gives you a dash, and with that dash, you can actually make a much longer jump. So there's a lot of points in the game where you have to have that if you want to get to the thing you want to get to.
All right, Shane, I want to switch gears on you a little bit. One of the things that I had noticed that I thought was pretty cool was on some of the side-scrolling stages that I saw, you guys integrated some of the sound design into the platforming. Like when you're hitting platforms, like there's different musical tones as you're hitting the platforms. Is there more places in the game, like in like the 3D areas, where there's sound design like that in the game?
That's a very specific question. Yeah, I know the level you're talking about is the side-scrolling level with Nephilim, and there's some blocks that are kind of a little nod to Super Mario Brothers 3. There's like some note blocks and some other blocks that kind of play a tune as you go across them. I think sound-based stuff like that is pretty unique to that level.
Okay.
Although there's definitely some other puzzles that are unique, but not really sound involved. But I would say the overall sound design of the game is super excellent, and the music is really varied. Because as the game is kind of shifting tone and shifting settings, the music has to also. So most of it was composed by this guy named Masato Koda, who does Monster Hunter in Japan, but he had help from a few other guys. But I think in that one level, there's definitely several uses of puzzles and gimmicks and stuff that we haven't shown. And I think if you're a fan of kind of like Super Mario Brothers 3 style hard platforming levels, that level is great for you.
Yeah, I think that must be the level I saw too, because I found it really interesting because it was one of the features you did for game trailers, and as you're talking, I'm like hearing the music in the background changing as you're hitting the different platforms, and I was like, that is really cool. That's the kind of stuff I really like in these types of platforming games. I'm interested to know how it's included. So that's pretty cool to hear.
Actually, one other thing about the sound I want to bring up is we were able to leave the full Japanese voice track in as well. And in Japan, they got a lot of really kind of famous anime voice actors and really good guys. And, when I watch anime, I usually do watch it subtitled. So I've played through this game both with English and Japanese. And, I think if you're somebody who can handle the Japanese voices with English subtitles, that is the absolute best way to play the game, because the Japanese voice actors are crazy good.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
But if you're somebody who like has trouble doing that much reading while playing, stick with the English. English is quite good also.
That's where I am. I would probably it would probably be a situation where I'd turn the Japanese voices on during the second playthrough.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Speaking of multiple playthroughs, I know we've talked about difficulty, and I think I remember you mentioning that you hadn't played the game on the hardest difficulty yet. Is that still the case?
So I finished the first level on super hard, and it was insane. And after that, I was like, all right, I need to finish hard first. And I'm actually about, about 2/3 of the way through the game on hard, and it's really challenging. I mean, it's about as hard as I can handle it. So I don't know, even after beating it on hard, if I will be able to do extra hard. Because as I told you, only one dude on the development team ever finished really hard. So
that is crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Pretty nuts.
That's like Demon Souls level difficulty.
Well, that game, Demon Souls, still like I can't believe how hard that game was, because it's a game that I looked at it when it first was in Japan, and I was like, we actually asked the development team, because it hadn't been signed yet for America at that point. We asked them if they would ever consider making it easier, and they refused. They refused to make that game easier. So
apparently, Dark Souls is even harder.
I'm kind of impressed they stuck by their guns and we made it a huge success out of such a hard game. So
yeah, for real. I haven't beat it yet.
I don't think any of us have beat it yet. I think Travis is probably the closest as far as
I'm
that game
is concerned. I'm really close at the end.
I know Dark Souls is going to be easier. It's not going to be easy, but they did say it wasn't going to be as punishing. So.
No, really?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much depth you're going to be able to give me on this one, but you've kind of gone on record on saying that the PS3 version is the better version of the game.
That did appear on the PlayStation blog, yes.
It sounded like there was a pretty large gap between the two versions. Is that still the case? Is there still that large of a gap between the two versions?
It's really just there's three features. I think for me, the DualShock 3 just feels a little better for the button placement. And I mean, you can remap the buttons, but for the default button placement, using the L1 and R1 instead of the bumpers on the Xbox controller, for me, that's just kind of a personal choice. I think the analog stick feels a little better, maybe, but that's just a personal choice. The only performance difference is the frame rate on PS3 is always 60. It never, ever, ever drops. And
nice.
There's a few, like one or two instances in the 360 where there's lots of guys on screen where I did see a slight dip on occasion, and like not enough to really, damage the game. It's not like Ninja Gaiden 2 or something at the end, but
yeah.
If you want the like super silky, smooth, perfect animation, 100% of the time. I can guarantee that on PS3. And they also announced that there's a bunch of PlayStation Home stuff coming for All Should Eyes. So, you know, and there's nothing like that. So, yeah. I know, you know, PlayStation Home isn't popular with a lot of guys, but if you are somebody who uses Home and you want crazy All Should Eyes stuff, that is coming. So, you know, but the 360 version is definitely, you know, 99% perfect. And, you know, I wouldn't deter you from buying it if that's the only system you have.
I don't know if you can answer this, but if we can, like, have you seen any of the Home stuff running? Because I'm not sure if you followed Evo at all a couple weeks ago.
I watched a few of the big matches, but I didn't see any Home stuff.
No, it was actually streamed in Home as well. It was a mess. It was really? Yeah. Jason does a video. He actually watched it, post some pictures and video, and it was like it was very pixelated, and you could not see what was even going on. So is the Home stuff something you guys see before launch, or is it kind of like
It's stuff coming out after launch? And it's nothing streaming or anything. And I bet that was more people that ever went to Home ever, you know, because there's never been like thousands.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, it's actually, you know, it's more stuff for your like avatar stuff and like stuff for your home space.
Okay.
Totally optional. But you know, if you want El Shaddai everything, that'll be only on the PS3. So, but yeah, like I don't want to deter. And I think, you know, 360 has fewer games like this. There aren't as many character action made in Japan games on 360. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe there's people there might be more hungry for this type of game. So I don't, you know, even though PS3 is the lead SKU because of Japan, you know, I think in Europe and North America, it may be more of an even split.
Okay. Now, speaking of different versions, I kind of saw rumors of a possibility of like a Wii U and a PSV version. Do you have any comment on that? Or can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, I mean, that was stuff that, you know, I've been talking in the press a lot about, and it isn't that we're going to bring El Shaddai Ascension of the Metatron, the same game that's coming out on PS3 and 360, necessarily to Wii U or Vita. I think that's something that could happen, but I think we're more excited about hearing, once the game is out, what people would want from either, if we were to port this game or if we were to make a whole new game for a different console, like what do people want? Because I think when you finish El Shaddai, you know, as I said, there's kind of these gaps in the story and that you're kind of left to fill in. But even beyond that, there's things that happen before this game, there's things that happen after this game, and I say like right now there isn't a direct sequel that's being produced, so we're kind of wanting to see what people want out of like future iterations. And you know, I think it's cool that Wii U and Vita have some different functionality, and I think, you know, maybe not the same type of exact gameplay experience, but maybe something different for those platforms. So you know, the things that we're talking about internally, you know, but I really want to see what the users want, because I think that's kind of cool. So. Yeah. I'd love to hear where after your listeners play the game, you know, if you were to play this on Vita, if you were to play this on Wii U, or even other platforms beyond those, you know, 3DS, you know, iPad, Kinect, who knows? Yeah. We're open to any suggestions. So, yeah.
That's cool. So that being said, you guys have like DLC plan, or is that something that basically comes down to how the public like receives the game, or?
So there were some ideas for DLC. Although I say right now, outside of the PlayStation Home stuff, there are no concrete plans. Mm-hmm. And I think it would have probably been, you know, if we were to do something, it wouldn't be like, you know, new levels or anything like that. But I think in terms of where we want this franchise to go for future installments and other platforms, we're really curious just to kind of reach out to the guys out there and say, hey, what do people want?
Cool. I love that, because that then you're getting more from your fans, and you're creating stuff to the preference of your fans, and I think that's important.
So yeah, we kind of went El Shaddai to go way beyond this game, and you know, in Japan, as I said, there was some manga already, which is kind of telling a prequel to this game. So, and you know, we're hoping if that really takes off, it'd be awesome eventually to get anime. So that's kind of my own personal dream, right, of one day seeing El Shaddai anime come out of Japan. So.
How long is El Shaddai about?
So my first playthrough on normal took about 13 and a half hours.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good for
a character game for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was pretty exhausted. I really wanted to try to find everything. So I think if you kind of rush through it, you could probably make it through on easy in 10 if you're just like rushing.
Okay.
Yeah, at one point, Lucifel actually kind of breaks the fourth wall at the end of the second level, you reach the Tower of Babel, and he says, depending on what difficulty level you're on, he turns to you, kind of breaks the fourth wall, and it's like, if you're really good, you can clear this in 8 hours. You know? So he kind of tests you. Like, if you're really good on each difficulty level, he tells you from that point onward what a good playthrough time would be.
Interesting. Well, outside of El Shaddai, what else are you really excited about that that Ignition is doing right now?
So the next thing that's coming out from us is a game called Quarrel, and we announced it at E3. It didn't get a lot of press because it's kind of a puzzle game, and you know, and puzzle games usually are something that you play on your iPhone. But this one is coming out for the download services of the consoles eventually, but it's coming out first on iPhone. And what it basically is Boggle meets Risk. And I love it. You're like, this game I saw this a year ago, and it was so much fun. Because, you know, it takes like the fun elements of Scrabble and Words with Friends, but it actually adds like a tactical element where you're taking over, you know, four players are fighting to take over a map, basically, by trying to solve Boggle kind of anagrams. And it's just crazy fun, really competitive, and it actually teaches you lots of vocabulary. So it's secretly educational. So that's rolling out on iOS at the end of around the end of this month, and then coming to major download services in the future.
Is it done like Words of Friends where, I can't think of the word right now, where you can actually put in your move and then wait until the other person can put theirs in whenever and then go back to it? Is that the way it's done?
That's asynchronous multiplayer. And that is...
There it is.
Yeah, so that is eventually what we are going to have for the iOS version. But the version that's coming out initially is just a single player versus AI. Okay. But then the console versions coming out around fall will have online multiplayer. And then we're going to add that online multiplayer asynchronously to the iOS version eventually. So it's a really cool, smart game, and hopefully...
Did you guys think about doing that with the console versions as well?
Maybe.
Like, is that even possible? I don't even know if that would be even possible. Like, I don't think anyone's done it yet. Like,
yeah, ultimately, our goal is to have asynchronous across all versions, including like a Facebook version. Because right now, you can do that with Scrabble across Facebook and iPhone and iPad. So... Yeah, but you know, this is just a really cool concept, and it's strangely competitive, and so that's definitely not a hardcore game for us. But I think our next big hardcore game, which I mentioned earlier, is Dragon's Crown,
which
is being done by Vanillaware, the guys out of Osaka who made Muramasa. They also did Odin Sphere, Grim Grimoire, and we showed that it was revealed at the Sony press conference at E3, which was awesome, and it's actually one of the most anticipated Vita games all over the world, and we're just really stoked that we finally kind of have a game from Vanillaware that's a little more mainstream. Because as much as I love Odin Sphere and Muramasa, they were pretty niche titles. You know, you kind of had to be someone who's gonna like learn this kind of complicated system, especially Odin Sphere. Whereas this game is a little more straightforward because Kamatani, the main dude at Vanillaware, he worked on at Capcom many, many years ago, and the games that he worked on there, two of them were these Dungeons and Dragons side-scrolling arcade games called Tower of Doom and Shadow of the Star, and they were awesome. They're kind of like a four-player golden hack.
I love those games in the arcade.
No doubt.
Yeah, so he always wanted to make another game like that, and it took him 13 years to actually like find a publisher who would want to invest in a hand-drawn four-player hack and slash game. And we love the idea, and we love his art, and we thought the idea, the popularity of things like Monster Hunter in Japan, this four-player PSP game, I think that combined with kind of Golden Axe, suddenly you have something new, and that's kind of what Dragon's Crown is. It's kind of those old school coin up munchers, where you're just like going across a level fighting bosses, but you're actually leveling up your characters. You're getting new items. You're taking on missions and quests. And so it's to me, it kind of melds two things I love, like old school Japanese arcade coin op side scrollers with a little bit of Monster Hunter or Diablo. So
I was super impressed by the animation for being like, cause they're not like rendered, right? Those are like pretty much
everything
like,
is
right.
It's sprite based. This is Vanillaware, dude. This is what they do.
It's awesome, dude. Like, it is like completely beautiful.
Right. And like so few games are hand drawn now that it actually looks kind of weird. Like when you see those walking animations, you're like, how does it look like that? Or, if you go back and watch like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves from 1937, it looks kind of similar because there's literally just like so many hand-drawn frames of animation in front of you running fluidly that it looks wrong. And like,
smooth.
This game took a very long time because there is so much art and they're a small team. So, you actually, when I go and visit them, you see people drawing things, and when you're making a 3D game, you just make a 3D model, you tell it, oh, go from this pose to that pose. And like, it knows how to do that. Like, no, this isn't that. This is like literally somebody drawing the entire game. So,
Travis, remind me, and the next time that we hang out, I'll show you Princess Crown, which is like one of their games that was on Saturn, and I have the Japanese import of the PSP version.
Oh, we'll play it.
Yeah. That is actually their first game.
And it's awesome. I mean, the beautiful, beautiful animation. They do a lot of like multi-spriting and stuff like that.
Let me tell you a sad story. So when I finally met Kamitani, I brought my copy of Princess Crown for PSP to have him sign it, because I don't have the Saturn version because it's kind of expensive. Even as a used game, it's like $100. Yeah. So I show it to him and he's like, oh, that. He's like, yeah, this version isn't very good. The Saturn version's way better. I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but see, the problem with that that you can't find the Saturn version anymore.
Yeah, if you don't want to spend a lot of money on it anyway.
Yeah, and I learned from a friend, try to ask Hideo Kojima to sign NES Metal Gear. He's kind of similar. He's like, yeah, that version's no good. So Dragon's Crown, you know, we're hoping to have some more stuff to show around TGS on that, and it is slated for about around March of next year, so right around the time that Vita will be hitting North America and Europe, we hope.
Nice. Now, has the Vita development already started?
Yes.
It has. So Sony has talked about how much easier it is to develop for this platform compared to like the PS3. Do you know if that's the case? Have they commented at all?
Our understanding is that it is a better environment, and it's also a really good place to port existing things like a PS3 or, you know, even like a 360 kind of game is a pretty easy-ish port, I think, to Vita, which is good, because I think that's definitely a problem that Sony's been having in the past, is just like their systems being a little too arcane to do easy ports. So I think with Vita being good for ports, and with Wii U allegedly being really good for 360 and PS3 ports as well, so I think hopefully we'll start to be more consistent with like the same experience being available across the platforms.
Yeah, no doubt. So with Dragon's Crown, and I actually had a lot of questions about this game because I'm very interested in it. You guys obviously have a good relationship with VanillaWare. Is this another situation of where you got together with VanillaWare to create a game, or did they approach you about Dragon's Crown in general, about publishing this game?
So I was not there at the first impact, but from my understanding, that George Kamitani had the concept of, you know, he wanted to make this game like the Dungeons & Dragons games, and when he brought it to us, we liked that idea, and I think we gave him some feedback as to what exactly we wanted, and you know, we kind of collaborated to make this the IP, the concept of Dragon's Crown, and I think this one's probably more than 50% out of his brain, but we didn't want to change it too much,
right? Like,
I'm, you know, it's still in development, and I'm still trying to make sure that it's expandable in the way that I want it to be, because I think that's not something that Japanese people are used to necessarily putting into their games. So, you know, because it is kind of like this concept that could keep growing, you know, because you could always be exploring new places. You could eventually add other, you know, character classes or something. So I want this to be more of like a platform that can keep evolving. And that's kind of still to be determined as to how much that, you know, how much kind of DLC or whatever we could have in the game. But I think the fundamentals are seriously awesome and in place. And, you know, I've played the game with local multiplayer in its current state, and it's already really fun. So, I also think that Sega bringing Treasure's Guardian Heroes back out this year is a good thing, because I think it kind of helps to get this genre back in people's minds as like, you know, a valid, cool, fun multiplayer experience.
We are all fans of Guardian Heroes. That is for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So last thing I want to mention about Dragon's, or I want to ask about Dragon's Crown, is with it coming to both PS3 and Vita, there's a lot of people out there that are talking about like the cross-platform saves and all that kind of stuff. And I think you guys mentioned that was going to be possible with Dragon's Crown, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there a chance, or have you guys thought about like a package available, like a package deal available where you get both the PS3 version and the PS Vita version for like a discount?
You know, there's definitely talk of that. And, you know, we still kind of have to find out what Sony's rules are going to be for that, and whether or not you could have a thing where, you know, you buy the boxed PS3 game and could, you know, get a discounted code to download the Vita version. So yeah, we would like to have some sort of, or maybe, you know, a collector's edition where you get them both in a big box or something.
Yeah,
you know?
That would be awesome.
I would love that. Yeah.
But I'll say that, you know, the pricing, we definitely want Dragon's Crown to be priced in a way to where if you're really a fan, it wouldn't be impossible for you to buy them both.
So yeah. And I was actually going to mention that because I don't know if this is official or not, because both versions are up on Amazon for $30 and I've already pre-ordered them both.
Yeah. So that's currently up there. And, you know, that's the price that's up there. So, because, you know, I think especially if you're someone who has like a roommate or a brother or something, it'd be cool that you like you could have your Vita wherever you are and they could be playing with you at home. You're playing the same game together. You could continue your game at home on the PS3 if you wanted. You know, I think it's a great future. And it's kind of like the connectivity we've always dreamed of having finally really being feasible. You know,
so it's not just cross-platform saving. It's cross-platform multiplayer as well.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah,
that is really cool. Okay, so this is kind of the last question that I have, and I don't know if I'm going to offend anybody by asking it. But,
God.
All right, so Ignition's not bringing King of Fighters 13 to America.
Yeah, and I'm really, you know, it's a long story, and King of Fighters 12 was the first game that we shipped after I joined this company, and, you know, I think it had a lot of good things going for it, but clearly there were some problems. At launch, there are major bugs with the online play, and, you know, I personally always knew that SNK Playmore could figure out the problems they had from that game and make 13, you know, a game that wouldn't have any of those issues. And when the arcade version came out in Japan, like, it was definitely the game I wanted 12 to be, with like lots more characters and lots more stages and some new systems even. And I still love SNK Playmore. And I personally would have liked for us to have been able to publish 13, but I'm stoked that Atlas picked it up. And I'm really excited about like the special soundtrack pre-order bonus they're doing. And yeah, like, in this instance, I'm a fan. I'm going to buy it. I love King of Fighters. And yeah, so I wish them well. And I think we would definitely love to work with SNK Playmore in the future. And there's one, you know, there's definitely some old games of theirs that I would love to bring back. So yeah, if I can't have King of Fighters, maybe I can have something crazy and weird from the past that's more, you know, a little less.
Can I say that I would love to see Last Blade 3 eventually?
Okay, what would you rather see, Last Blade 3 or Mark of the Wolves 2?
I'd go Mark of the Wolves 2, personally, but...
Okay, you know the crazy thing about Last Blade is the awesome Swery 65, the director of Deadly Premonition, was, like, the main dude on both Last Blade 1 and 2.
Oh, really?
Well, shit. Last Blade is my favorite of the SNK series, so I would probably want to see Last Blade 3.
I do. Last Blade is really beautiful, especially, like, Last Blade 2, like, you go back and look at that game, it's, like, it's hard to believe that was for Neo Geo. I mean... It's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. So there's no bad blood between you guys and SNK then?
Yeah, okay, I mean, cool. I think that, like, if King of Fighters 12 had been, like, a little bit better polished product, I would have had an easier time trying to convince everyone for us to go into 13.
To be honest, I think it was the online thing that was the big issue.
That was the big thing, yeah.
Like, I was like, because
it was a mess.
Game looked great, yeah.
But yeah, I'll say, like, the online was a mess, and it was a little feature-like, so.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Yeah, online, because remember, we were all excited, because we have actually, a lot of our listeners are huge fighting game based, like, we have a lot of our communities, like, huge into fighting games, and we're all pumped for it, and then we tried for, like, weeks, and we just, yeah, it was like, I can't really do it, so that was kind of a bummer, so, but we also have our hopes up for 13, actually, to be honest. Yeah,
between 13 and Third Strike, I think, you know, the rest of the year is awesome for 2D fighters, so.
Well, I mean, that's all I've got as far as, like, Ignition and El Shaddai goes. Do you guys have anything else before we move on to the final question?
No, I was going to ask that main question we asked everyone.
Yeah, I'm good.
So, all right. Shane, what's been distracting you, man? What else have you been playing? If you've had time to play anything.
I haven't had much time, but I've been playing some random things. I was playing a little Fruit Ninja Connect.
Oh, really? I'm only saying all real because like I love my Fruit Ninja on my iPhone, but I'm just like... With my experience with the Kinect, and I don't know, is it accurate? Like,
it is more accurate than the other Kinect games I've played. It's still not one-to-one, but because what you're doing is so simple and there's not much to it, it kind of works better than anything I've played before. And like,
really?
If you're like a little inebriated or whatever it is you're doing, like just flailing around wildly, you have a lot of fun. And you know, and the price is right. It's not a full price game. It's a download. So I think the success of this is going to show maybe what people should be doing with Kinect more than what they've been trying to do. Although that video of the dude from Koei playing Gallop Racer may have sold me on the horse racing game. If you haven't seen it,
I have not seen that yet. No.
Oh god, yeah, there's like a horse racing game for Kinect and you're like ride the horse. It's pretty spectacular.
That's cool.
Other than that,
I want to play Kinect fucking Fruit Ninja with on drums from Rock Band and just see what happens.
That's a good idea.
The two of them.
All right, other than that, I've been playing a great game on iPad called Groove Coaster. I don't know if you guys have talked about that ever. It is.
I don't think so.
It's only 99 cents, and it is. Maybe it's for iPhone and iPad, and it's from the guy who made Space Invaders Infinity Gene, which was a really great,
really good game. Yeah,
really great game, and has a very similar art style. But all it basically is kind of a tap-tap rhythm action game. But the graphics are really cool, and the interface is just super simple, and it works, and it's only 99 cents, and it's perfect for small doses. And because it's published by Taito, you can actually download a bunch of classic game music stuff from the iTunes store to add more levels to it, which is very cool.
What was this called? I want to see if it's on iPhone.
Groove Coaster. It's by Taito, aka Square Enix. The only other game I've been playing is, I think we talked about before, Shadows of the Damned.
Which,
you know, I've been playing through since it came out about a month ago, 2 months ago, slowly making my way through it. To me, it is the sequel to Resident Evil 4 that Resident Evil 5 was not.
Exactly. And how great is the writing in those storybooks that they scatter along the game and everything? Awesome.
Yeah, and the localization, like everything about it, like the writing, the voice acting, and my friends actually who work at 8-4, a bunch of my old chums from EGM and 1UP, they worked on that game. Part of the reason writing is so good.
Mark McDonald's.
Mark and John, and it is that game, and it really got slept on. You know, it totally tanked at retail at initial release. I think that anybody who liked Resident Evil should definitely go check that out. Especially now, I think it's gone down in price even. So,
yeah, I still need to pick it up. I know we played that on Industream one day, and Jason made it a point that I was the one to play it because I hadn't played it yet, and I had the best time with that game. I thought it was hilarious and just fun, and you know,
it gets better, man.
Yeah, like, I need to get
really
it.
Cool
I
boss
really
fights and everything.
It.
Yeah.
I was actually going to ask you, Shane, actually, it's going to be off the record or on the record, doesn't matter. I was going to ask you, because you know Mark McDonald and those guys, like, is it, have you ever thought of considering having them localize a game that you bring over from Japan? Because they've had, apparently that game's really well localized.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and they're the best. They're the best at what they do, and I've definitely wanted to work with them since I started in publishing, and we got really close on one project. We ended up not getting the game, but... Yeah, you know, and I will say, because they're so good, because they work with such huge partners like, you know, Nintendo and Square Enix and Sony, they aren't the cheapest localization house in town. So, you know, if I were going to bring a game to them, I would want to make sure it's a really cool game with a really good story.
They don't give you the friend discount.
You know, like, I wouldn't bring to them, you know, like some, you know, pets, although they do pets games. Like, I wouldn't bring to them this one that doesn't need a great localization.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
It has been a good,
meow
is
the same
for,
fucking language.
It has been a good year for localization all around, because even Catherine had great localization as well.
Although, I am bummed that they took the Japanese voices out.
Oh, yeah.
They could have left them on the PSV disc. Just saying.
That's true. Very cool. That's all we have. At least that's all I have. You guys have anything else before we wrap up with Shane?
I'm good, man.
Shane, I want to thank you again for joining us. You want to pimp your shit one more time?
Sure.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me again. And especially here to talk as much in depth as I did about El Shaddai. You know, it's a really special game. It's I think it's the kind of game that only comes around once every few years. And, you know, I tell a lot of people that it might not look as graphically, you know, like, normal and impressive and polygonal as something like a Battlefield 3 or Gears 3, but you know, there's a lot of artistry here, and it's a really cool story, really great gameplay, and I think, you know, just in terms of what you're seeing and hearing, it's something you want to show your friends, something you want to pull off your shelf again in like a few years and go through again. So yeah, I just invite everybody to definitely take a chance and try something a little different. El Shaddai ship in the 16th, and then later this year look for Quarrel on the download services, and then early next year, Dragon's Crown. Definitely keep an eye. We should be announcing some other new titles closer to the end of the year. So
sweet.
Very cool. Well, I'll tell you what, man, a couple more times having you on and we might have to offer you a permanent spot.
Seriously. I'm like, yeah,
I was going to say, I know you just recorded actually probably tonight was the We Can Confirm guys like Garnet and those guys. And one of our listeners as a joke in our forum was like, I'm pretty sure that Shane's been on your show more than we can confirm in the last 2 years. I thought that was kind of amusing.
Four times now, so I think they have me beat by one.
Oh, yeah. No. I guess tomorrow they officially will when they release
that'll
it.
Be the fourth. So, but you're
looking
right.
Forward to it.
So, yeah, and I think I may have actually pimped this podcast during that podcast.
Really?
Nice.
See if it awesome. Makes. See if it gets on the cutting room floor, but
that would be cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely.
Well, start its fucking show, so we'll see what happens.
That's right.
make sure you give me the link so I can put this on my Twitter, which is at Shane Walker.
Yeah, I will send it to you on Monday when we post the show.
Sweet.
Awesome. Shane, thanks for joining us. Good luck with El Shaddai. I know that we will be featuring it on IndieStream next week. So hope these guys will tune in for that. And, good luck and lots of sales for you.
Cool. Thanks, guys. And yeah, feel free to invite me back to pimp other stuff.
Oh, definitely, man. I'm sure.
All right, man. Take care.
Cheers, right, bud.
Have a great night.
Thank you once again, Shane Bettenhausen, for joining us again.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, good stuff. I'm looking forward to El Shaddai. I got my copy pre-ordered already, so I should have it on Tuesday.
So it better be good.
Yeah, and we should be showing it on IndieStream on Tuesday as well. So cool. You guys tune in for that. Let's move on. Let's get to some new releases. What do you guys think?
Why not?
As well. I didn't know at least one game is going to be on there.
Hell yeah! Let's see what Repeat has to say.
Okay, so first up this week is a game that should have already been talked to death on the show, and that is, of course, El Shaddai Ascension of the Metatron for 360 and PS3.
Shaddai?
All right, so on the PS3, it's getting the No More Heroes, Heroes Paradise port from the Wii. It's got a bunch of extra crap, mostly pointless, but, PSP. You know, No More Heroes was a great game, so this should be pretty good as well. A little disappointing not porting the second one, but, you know, whatever. So on Xbox Live Arcade, we're getting the final Summer of Arcade title, which is Toy Soldiers Cold War, as a follow-up to the original Toy Soldiers, which I heard was actually pretty good, some sort of a tower defense-y type of game. So might be worth checking that one out. And on the PS3, it looks like they're getting Fighting Fantasy Talisman of Death, which is a port of a Choose-Your-Own-Adventure book. So, yeah. Okay. And the other interesting thing to note is the first two Summer of Arcade titles, that would be From Dust and Bastion, are both getting PC releases. So, yeah, if you didn't get 360, probably worth checking both of them out because they're both pretty damn fantastic. And that'll do it.
I got to say, From Dust would probably be a lot better on the PC.
You think so? Because
I've heard different things, yeah.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I would just think, like, you know, mouse controls would be a lot better for that game.
Oh, yeah.
I need to try a demo of that game.
I don't think it'll solve the camera issues with it, though. That's my biggest problem with it.
I gotcha. I really need to try a demo of that game because it sounds kind of interesting. Because I was kind of interested in Populous when it was out. But, you know, I guess it really depends on how this one plays. So, we'll see. Pick of the week.
El Shaddai. It's good looking.
Dude, it's kind of tough because I do...
No More Heroes is a good choice, dude.
Well, yeah, No More Heroes is good because I definitely have not played that yet.
Now, that No More Heroes, is that a re-release?
That is
an original game.
Yeah, they basically went back and did the same thing to No More Heroes that they did to Ninja Gaiden Sigma.
But is this No More Heroes 1 or 2?
It's 1. It's the first one.
Okay, so this is the first one redone.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's good, dude. I played the demo. Go grab the demo off PSN.
I didn't know the
demo's pretty good.
On there.
Yeah, it's out.
Okay,
I'll go with that initial today. Maybe even or that actually, because I do want to try out for sure. I want to try out No More Heroes.
They're both good choices. They're both good choices. I'm going with El Shaddai only because I've already pre-ordered it, and I haven't pre-ordered No More Heroes yet. I'm going to wait until that's probably.
I'll
$20.
Go No More Heroes.
You guys only picked El Shaddai because Shane was on the show.
Cool. That's it for next week, though. I mean, Repeat did a good job, covered everything. So no gaps to fill in
soon after that.
Yeah, well, here's to hoping, I guess. Oh, actually, part of me is hoping for the floodgates, and part of me isn't. It's like I'm still trying to catch up. So, cool. Let's do some emails. Do it.
Emails? Why not? Okay, we got our buddy John Smith, aka Two Hands Revy, I believe. Giggity. Coming up in this piece and saying, "Hey guys, great podcast as usual.
Thank you,
wanted
good sir.
Wanted to throw a two-part question at you. Name a time when you find yourselves in a Catherine-type situation in real life without naming names. Which Catherine did you choose? Let's just say my wife stole me from my ex, so obviously I went with Catherine with a C. Just goes to show that you can still go the naughty route in life and things can still turn out okay. Exclamation point. Love, Two Hands Revy."
Thank you, sir. Mine doesn't really fit that to an extent, but I know that the single gap between my wife and my previous girlfriend was only about 3 months. And
I was gonna say like 13 years.
during that little 3 month gap, apparently, like, because my previous my previous girlfriend, she dumped me, and mm-hmm. then
bitch.
After Fuck I had that, already started,
who is she?
After I had started dating Crystal, she called and basically wanted me back, and I was like, sorry.
That's usually what happens.
Yeah, so I mean, that's the closest I've got to it. Yeah. I mean, I've always been pretty good about, you know, I was always the kind of person that didn't date multiple people because it got too complicated, and I suck at that kind of shit. So, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I met Tanya while I was dating somebody else, and I've been out with Tanya for, you know, better of, you know, almost 7 years now. So, there you go. The other woman wins sometimes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I was actually in that similar situation, and I chose my Catherine with a K and ended up getting married. So I got my good ending, I guess you can say, right?
Mm-hmm. Very cool. We have any other emails besides the Batman contest?
That is
Should we
all...
hit up Indus questions then before we do the
Let's
Batman
do some
contest?
Indus questions. Indus
that sounds
questions
good. Let's do that
up.
Shit.
Yeah, we got some here. We got... Jake G92, he says, I'm not attending Third Strike this year. Boo. So can I know all the secrets? And he spells out Winky Face. And he says, for information, everyone now has to start spelling,
spelling out Winky Face?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
Sorry, Jake, if you're not there, you can't be
the biggest.
Secrets,
the biggest secret about Indus Fest Third Strike is that it's not really happening. No, I'm kidding. Exactly. It is. Sorry,
it's really fake. Kidding. We're just going to see how many guys we can get here to Atlanta.
How many suckers can we get to Atlanta?
Yeah. Hey, we're picking everybody up at the airport. Just come on in.
And the good news, Jake, actually, everyone's going to come to Atlanta, and we're actually going to England. So
that's right. Everyone's coming here, and Indus is going to England.
Asian got some quick fire questions. He says, laptop or tablet?
Laptop.
Oh, laptop, man.
I'm going to go tablet, man.
You're
stupid. I don't like laptops. I hate the keyboards on them, man. I can't stand them. Pancakes or waffles?
Oh.
Oh, waffles,
oh, God,
dude.
That's a good one.
Because the butter sits in, like, the crevasse of the waffles. And it's like,
that is true.
So good.
The syrup kind of sucks.
See, I don't actually put butter on my pancakes or waffles.
I hate both of you. You put syrup
or peanut butter, yeah. I'm actually going to go with pancakes, only because you can make them in different shapes.
Wow, that's lame.
Hey, you know what? I would think it was lame too until my wife brought me home pancake molds that were fucking Star Wars, man.
It's got
a Millennium Falcon, an X-wing, and like the fucking TIE Interceptor. It's awesome.
Yeah, so you're gonna draw them with Liam's crayons around your little paper napkin while you're eating them.
Oh, that's so Tampax right now.
That's pretty Tampax. Yeah.
Nice. I'm gonna go with. I love my pancakes, but a good Belgian waffle, man.
Yes,
how much crap that is.
It really is a tough question because
it is really hard.
I love Belgian waffles, man. With fruit on them and shit, like whipped cream. Yeah.
Oh God,
so good.
Straight from Bruges.
What did
love
you say,
it.
Travis?
Oh, I said waffles, man.
Said waffles, nice. Beer or wine?
Beer.
Yeah, I prefer beer.
Over yeah,
wine,
beer sure. Any day. beer, unless I'm dieting, then it's red wine.
Yeah, it's red up wine, the ass or on the face.
What?
Who said that?
Asian.
Asian said that?
Yeah.
I got to go right in the grill, man. Right in the grill.
Right in the grill.
In your face.
Can I cop out and say neither?
Sure. Yeah, that's not a cop out. Go for it.
There we go. Neither.
Rob Paris says, what is your favorite accent on a girl?
Ooh.
British.
I'm with them.
British.
I love it.
I'm gonna go British or Australian, I think.
Yeah, and they're both very similar, right?
So, yeah. For sure.
I'm with you guys. British all the way.
Jeff BTW, also known as Better Tomorrow, says, what's the last game you gave up on because you were lost, stuck, or it was too hard? Oh, God, I would be here for the last game? That's like too easy. I'd right now, I'm gonna go back to it, but I'll say Witcher 2. Because the last boss in that game is just ridiculous.
Redonk.
I'm gonna do one for each.
I'm gonna hang my head in shame and say Demon Souls.
Yeah, I could say Demon Souls too. It just wasn't my last.
That's the last one I stopped because of like because I just lost where I was going and what I was doing and shit like that. That's so
we'll take that as a stuck. That counts.
That's a stuck. Yeah, there you go.
Travis.
Yeah, Demon Souls right now. I guess I haven't beaten it yet. I still want to beat it before Dark comes out, but I don't know. I don't know.
We'll see.
All right. Cool. Bifstix says, when was the last time you drank wine out of a box?
Out of a college.
Yeah. College.
Actually, I think it might have been before college. I think it was when I was 18. That was like the first time I ever got drunk. We were drinking wine out of a box.
Out of a box.
That's really the only time I can remember ever drinking wine out of a box.
Huh. I've never drinking wine out of a box.
Good for you.
That stuff gives you cancer, man.
Travis,
you can't drink that.
Good for you, dude.
I have
that gives
once.
You cancer.
Everything does. I had a party in my I ran out of stuff, and me and my buddy both ran out, and my dad had a box of wine in the basement, and we busted that out. To this day, we still joke around about it every once in a while, because the first and last time we ever drank out of a box of wine.
Huh.
It was pretty good times. There Tomorrow has a follow-up. He says, ever walked out on a movie at the theater?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, yes.
I have once. What do you guys walk out on?
Mine was Eight-Legged Freaks, that Spider movie a long time ago.
That was good, wasn't it?
Fuck you, that was terrible.
Is that the one where, like, the big, yeah, that was good, dumb fun.
That
You're
was,
crazy.
It was bad.
Yeah, well, of course it was bad.
Let's see. Showgirls.
What?
Yes.
You were old enough to see Showgirls when that came out in theaters?
Yes, I was. And I was over 17, so I was able to go see it. Let me see, what else? Well, it wasn't really in theaters, but if I would have seen it in theaters, I would have walked out, and that was Dragon
Wars.
That's
not the question.
I know.
Is that terrible? I want to see that. I saw it on like Netflix or something. I'm like, I want to see it, but I don't know if I want to see it.
Dude, Crystal wouldn't watch it. Crystal is the biggest like dragon freak I've ever met, and she was like, we need to turn this off. And yeah, that's it right now.
All right. I did. I walked out on Coneheads. That was one of the worst movies
I've
ever seen.
What? Oh, I love Coneheads.
me and my buddy, we were just causing too much shit. This old guy yelled at us behind us because we were being too loud, and then we went out into the lobby and played Mortal Kombat.
Get off my lawn!
Nice. The Dark Bower.
You're banned from my lawn, Jeff!
Jeff. Actually, before that, Nabishin says, has Get Off My Lawn just beat running shit for most overused phrase in podcasting?
No, because Get Off My Lawn is awesome.
I think running shit's kind of cool, too, I guess.
Yeah, I think, if you know how to run shit, obviously you understand running shit.
You don't have to worry about lawns.
Yeah, you have someone cutting your own lawn.
Because we're up in that street, son. We're in the street.
Jack Bauer says, on average, how long does it take to edit the show, and also, who decides who gets to edit? Like how he says, who decides who gets to edit, like it's something you guys are like, me.
It's a raffle, basically. Yeah,
Travis and I fist fight. That's how we decide.
Yes. And the winner doesn't.
That's right. The winner passes it all.
About 50-50. The fights are 50-50 pretty much.
We switch off week to week. So that's pretty much how it works. And if one week I can't do it, then I'll edit 2 weeks in a row, something like that. As far as how long it takes, it's hard for me to determine because ever since Liam was born, I kind of do it sporadically throughout the weekend. Mm-hmm. But I would say it probably takes between 3 and 5 hours for me.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's about right.
God damn.
Yeah.
So get your software ready, Jeff.
I will say this though. It's like I say it's 3 to 5 hours, but a lot of that time is like click, walk away. You know, and come back like 10 minutes later. Click, walk away. Yeah. So I mean that's like cleaning up the files and stuff like that. That stuff is it takes a while, but you don't have to sit there and wait for it. So
cool. We're sitting there waiting. Jack Bauer wants to know, if you guys didn't play games, what do you think you'd do in your spare time, other than masturbating all the time?
That's all I do. Shit.
I would probably take up like an extracurricular sport. I don't know. Maybe the luge. Or
the luge, yes.
Maybe try a little curling. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe start a curling club down here.
I would probably sleep more. To be honest with you, because all my gaming happens between 9 and 11.
So if you didn't play games, you wouldn't have any other like hobby?
I would probably. I mean, what am I going to do between 9 and 11 every day?
Well, that's what he's asking.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like I really
watch
don't
TV, right?
Yeah, I mean, most of the time it's like you get home for work, and after I take care of Liam until he goes to bed, and then once he goes to bed, I get some time with Crystal. And once she goes to bed, I've got time to do whatever I need to do. But it's between 9 and 11. What am I going to do? So if the timing was right, I'd probably be going to my dojo a lot more. I haven't been doing that since Liam was born. So I'm looking forward to when he's 3 and a half and he can actually come with me.
Yeah. That would be awesome. I've got to see that.
Liam at 3 and a half doing karate, it'll probably be a lot of flailing.
Jeff, what about you, man?
I probably would have stuck to drawing and shit like that. I mean,
right.
I know I sucked at it when I was a kid, but you know, the more you practice something, you get better at it. I probably would have stuck to that. Mm-hmm. Or to be honest, I back in the day, I really was interested in like editing stuff, editing videos and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. That just never happened to because of, I guess, the whole gaming thing. I just never really got into it. So.
Yeah.
I probably would do one of those two things.
I guess it's possible that I would actually do some different like programming stuff on the side if I had the time. I mean, that's a possibility. But I mean, one of the reasons I don't do that right now is because I look at code 8 hours a day, man. I don't want to come home and do it anymore. So
that and I'd be a famous actor, of course.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I was going to go into that. Yeah. I probably would have focused a lot more in theater, do more theater like I did in college or. Probably drugs.
probably
drugs. I'd probably do a whole lot of drugs. Just
dealing
snorting.
Just
snorting
and
smoking drugs. That's what I'd be doing.
Be like a methed out, like crazy person walking up and down the streets of Atlanta.
Yeah. Just be like, oh, I'm so high right now. I could be playing video games, but I'll just be high.
Nice.
I could still do that too.
The Big C3 says, who made your awesome artwork and is there a story behind it? This is an easy question. But I'm not sure if there's really a story behind it. But Lisa, Jason A. Stryker's lovely wife, she does the artwork for everything for our site and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
pretty much.
And I guess the whole story behind that would be she does that. She's a graphic designer. She's a great artist. And she's married to Jason. So Jason's probably like, yo.
Yeah, as far as the website itself, I mean, that's usually Jason and I combined. But all the art that's done, like all the custom stuff, that's all Lisa.
Yes, so when you see like our caricatures and stuff like that up there, that's Lisa doing that. She's very good at it.
Quite.
Yes. Better Tomorrow, what are your embarrassing gaming habits, if you have any? I added the idea, if you have any.
Embarrassing game? I throw my controller.
Embarrassing. Well, yeah. I actually don't do that. I joke around.
I don't get the whole throwing controller thing.
Yeah,
I grunt like, oh, fuck. But
I have a very, very bad temper that is very much linked with my ease of getting frustrated. So when it's been since I was a kid that I've been throwing around controllers. And, you know, as they got more and more complex, they got easier and easier to break. So now when I throw my controller, I throw it into like the couch or a pillow or something like that. But man, my original Nintendo controller, fuck that shit, man. It was hitting everything.
I really don't have any. I can't think of anything that would be embarrassing. I have gaming habits, but I don't think of any that are embarrassing, really.
It's not embarrassing per se, unless like someone would happen to like walk in and actually see the scene as what it is. But like, my wife sees it all the time, so it's like normal to her now. But like, I'll just sit in the living room and play a video game in my boxer shorts.
Yeah.
And just be like, these boxer shorts. Now, I always think to myself, man, if like someone just like walked in that wasn't like familiar with this little situation right here, that like people would be kind of freaked out. It's like, what are you playing? Modern Warfare. Where's your pants?
What do you want? Over there.
It's my house. So, yeah, that's probably the weirdest thing that I do gaming-wise.
Yeah, I can't think of any. But if I do, I'll speak up for sure. Dark Bauer, Jack Bauer, says,
stop.
Out of Travis and Jeff, who will join Google Plus last?
This question is to me, right?
Because, no, well, I guess it technically would be to you, yeah.
Yeah,
it could be anyway, so we can all answer it.
My prediction would be that Travis would be the last because Jeff's girl is already on Google Plus.
Is she really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I knew that.
But you still have to be invited, right?
Fuck that. I have a bunch of invites. I can just click confirm, whatever. But
well, yeah. Like, what if I can't find my invites? What if my invites were like a month ago?
I'll send you one.
Yeah, send me one.
I'm actually going to say me. I am going to hold out because I really have no use for it.
I have no idea really what it is. So,
yeah.
It's literally it's Facebook without a lot of the clutter of like games and ads. That's pretty much all it is.
Well, it'll get there eventually.
It will get there. It will get there eventually. So. They've already started talking about games on Google Plus.
Actually, games started today.
Oh, did they?
There you go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
His follow up: how many times have you been arguing something only to realize you're wrong, but instead of admitting it, you keep arguing
every day? What?
For me, it depends on who I'm arguing with. if it's like one of my friends or whatever, that's fine. I'll be like, oh yeah, shit, dude, I'm totally wrong. But if it's somebody I just want to fucking just drive them nuts,
right,
I have no problem going till you know.
Yeah. You do it on a show a lot too. Like you even admit it sometimes. Like I'm just playing devil's advocate. Just
there's a difference between playing devil's advocate and arguing something when you know you're wrong and not admitting it. There's a difference between that. Like playing devil's advocate is looking at something from the opposite end that you know that's going against the grain from what you guys would be saying. I wouldn't ever argue with anything like that, like being devil's advocate, and then think I'm actually right without saying, hey, I'm just playing devil's advocate. That'd just be stupid. But yeah. I don't think anyone really does, like, I don't know. How many times? A shitload? Number one, I guess?
Yeah.
If I'm wrong, I do my best to own up to it if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Especially if I'm in person, or like I said, like a friend of mine, I'll be like, oh shit. Yeah. Yeah. Never mind. My bad. Totally.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I don't think, yeah. It's fun to do with some people, though, when people, like, really, you know, start getting
mad. Yeah, some people get really pissed off. Like, if you're arguing with somebody who just can't really take arguing, but they argue anyway,
exactly.
Sometimes it's just fun just to fuck with them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's like, but
hey,
I think
Jeff, we're very familiar with that,
yeah,
aren't we?
Oh, hell yeah, yeah, very much so. but I think Jack's question is more along the lines of, how many times, you really thought you were right. Like, I am dead right, and then you realize, oh, fuck. I was totally wrong. And then kept going. I'm trying to think. I know there's a time recently when that actually happened. I was like, yeah, I was like,
but
yeah,
kept
yeah,
going. No, I usually like to think like when I yeah, find, when I, when I realize I'm wrong, it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I'm going to think when I realize I'm dead wrong, then I'm usually like, yeah, like I'll back off and be like, okay, yeah, totally. I'm a fucking idiot. But yeah, but there's a little hope of, you know, a glimpse of hope that I'm, you know, you're not wrong. With certain people, you got to keep riding it out, man. You got to ride that wave. Just hope you don't get punched in the face.
Right.
All right, guys. So we got another one here from Sports Crazed. He says, "What are some good games to play while listening to podcasts?"
Ooh,
that's a good question.
I like this question.
Hmm.
I got a couple up ahead. If I'm listening to something, I don't mind playing sports games because you don't really have to concentrate on any kind of story elements or direction of where the game's trying to tell you to go or get this or do whatever or any kind of like crazy combos and stuff. You can kind of concentrate on both the podcast as well as just, you know, playing your sports games. Or if you're grinding an RPG, that works really well too.
You took mine right there. That was it.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit, sorry, dude.
I was gonna say grinding an RPG. That's the only other thing that I can think of is like if you have a beat 'em up, like an old school beat 'em up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that are where it's kind of like mindless. I mean, even some character action games, like you can easily play God of War and not pay attention to what the hell is going on as far as the game goes.
Yeah,
I can see myself playing a couple of franchise games like in Madden or something like that, or NCAA football with
sure.
a podcast plan, just buying the time.
Sports games,
yeah, because
you hear the same thing over and over and over again.
Or
so.
Like a puzzle game, maybe, like something
yeah,
like a puzzle
absolutely.
Game, kind of, or any game that you're replaying, maybe that you played once through and you're just gonna go through it again for maybe like a 1,000 point achievements or like a platinum trophy.
Platinum
like
trophy.
Yeah, there you go.
Trophy
yeah,
Joe.
That would work. I think. Yeah. I would definitely not recommend like any kind of story driven game whatsoever.
I would definitely not recommend actually trying to play through an RPG.
Yeah.
Grinding is about the only thing you're going to get out of it.
Yeah,
so.
Pretty much. Or, you know, you're playing a fighting game, you're in the training mode, you know, and you're learning some new combos, you know, some new
That's
strategies
a good one.
Or whatever. Do that. Cool.
Cool.
Hope that helps you out. Animated fan says, have you ever had a dream involving people you know or people you know of but have never actually met in person? Yes. For sure. Definitely. Almost nightly. Be honest.
I'm pretty sure that I have. I just can't think of one off the top of my head. But I know
yeah,
I've had
think of specifics.
I know I've had dreams of like people that I know really well online that I've never met in person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just can't think of any specifics right now.
Yeah, same here, but I definitely have for sure.
Yeah.
Like a lot of my dreams involve people I know either currently or like from the past or whatever, or even people I don't know but I know of or something like that, like all the time. Travis.
I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to the question. I was looking for some Tic Tacs that I lost a second ago.
Why? Did your wife tell you you have bad breath?
No. It's the orange ones, and that's like the way they taste. But anyway,
that's
go ahead. Next
said.
Question. Next
like, I'm trying to think, is that like, are you actually being serious?
Or? I'm being serious, but I was my mind was another place right now. So,
all right. Cool.
Yeah. Go ahead.
All right.
Next
one.
Another,
one more. We got one from Rob Paris. He says, who would win in a fight? Optimus Prime or the Incredible Hulk?
I gotta say Optimus Prime.
Why?
Gotta go because he's bigger.
But he's bigger. But bigger's not always, you know.
Hulk's like indestructible. Like you could it just seems like Optimus has been killed before. The Hulk hasn't. So
yeah, but he comes back to life every time.
But he's
not
been
every
killed
time.
Before.
No. Not
so,
every
but
time.
The Hulk hasn't. Yeah.
So, he does have to pass the spark.
That's true. We're in one time fight though. One on one. Who
I'd
wins?
Say the Incredible Hulk. I think.
No, I'm sticking. I got to stick to Optimus Prime.
I gotta go with Prime, man, because Prime's Optimus fucking Prime. He's got a gun. He's got the crazy ass sword thing.
He's been killed before.
Yeah, by other Transformers.
Yeah, by Transformers, not by
But the Incredible Hulk.
And think about the size of the Incredible Hulk compared to the size of Optimus Prime. Yeah.
He would take like Hulk would take like those two little in the second Transformers movies, those two little like crazy little cars, and he would like make like gloves out of those guys and just beat the hell out of Prime.
Yeah, but yeah, no, that would still be like Prime's fist. He's trying to hit him with it.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff on this one. Optimus Prime, definitely.
I just don't like Hulk. Actually, I've never liked Hulk ever in my entire life. But if he's invincible, then that's a good argument. If he's indestructible, then he's indestructible, right?
It's science. What can you say?
But that'd be like saying like Superman can't ever die and win every fight. And that'd just be boring. Be like, I don't know.
Well,
take away
his
indestructibility just by strength, agility. You know.
Yeah. Well, we all know that the Allspark is made of kryptonite, so Superman has no choice.
Superman's got no choice. Show no chance.
Yeah, no chance.
The Hulk maybe. And Hulk is pretty agile for a big motherfucker.
Have you ever played Marvel vs. Capcom? Come on.
I hate that guy. X-Factored? No chance.
That's right.
Prime's got no chance. Cool. That's it for the end of questions.
All right. Let's do our Batman entries.
All right. Jump
Travis.
Into it real quick.
Do
David
it.
Elton. David Elton says, the tick spoon. Spoon.
For all people right. who are just listening in now, we
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
the contest to... Right in, we're giving away, well, not we, actually, it was submitted by, was it Rob Paris?
It was Rob Paris, yes.
Who sent in a Game of the Year edition of Batman Arkham Asylum, and we said, send in your best superhero gadget for the most part. Or was it even superhero gadget? It wasn't limited to Batman, right?
No, it was superhero gadget. Superhero and gadget. It doesn't even have to be an established superhero gadget.
No, you
gadget
could just
either.
Make it up, yeah.
Sounds good to me. You know what also sounds good? Our buddy Shadow Hatto. He says, all right, guys, Shadow Hatto here, and I'm going to go with the obvious choice, the Travis to English Dictionary, for starters. Without it, podcasting weekly wouldn't even be possible. It's the inside scoop on a forgotten dialogue that once dominated New Orleans. Also, Travis's self-published books, How to Run Shit, I'm the Bomb, and his number one seller, Pimps Ho... And his number one seller, Pimps, Hoes, and Chivos, would be completely unreadable.
I was laughing at the one fucking for that.
Coming in a very close second or third would be Jeff's Canadian mute button technology and Chris's pro scooter tuner.
Hell yeah.
You might ask why I chose books. Well, knowledge is power. And because I can't afford some awesome Swiss Army utility belt. Peace. Nice. Love, Nate.
Thank you, Shadow.
Pimps, hoes, and chews.
Travis,
I want to
see that in your signature on Retroids tomorrow.
Pimps, Hoes, and Chivos.
My number one bestseller, Pimps, Hoes, and Chivos.
Buy it now on Amazon. All right. Trinity Sutherland, the coolest name in the world, really cool. comes in and says, Wonder Woman's Invisible Plane. They had to be thought up by an artist who was just plain fucking lazy.
Nice. Did you guys ever see, what is it, Family Guy?
No, seriously, it's a really awesome looking plane, guys. Seriously, you just can't see it. No, for real, you got to trust me on this one. Go with it. Oh, my God. Just go with it. I've been thinking about this all fucking day. Christ.
The Family Guy one is funny, Chris. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he Superman's flying through the air and he sees Wonder Woman. Oh, hey, how you doing? She goes, oh, well, this is kind of embarrassing. Yes, I'm on the toilet. Oh. That's the one flaw. The plane is invisible. What is inside is not, apparently.
All right, so also coming up next, Peter Stendahl. He says the number one best superhero equipment would be Green Lantern's lantern, because without it, he is just a green queen that seems to be kind of noobish. And that's from our buddy Zeke.
Nice. Thank you, Zeke.
All right. JG92 says, hey guys, my entry for this mind-blowing gadget, used by the superhero better known as Canadian Man, and the gadget's called the Patriotism Jism.
I like stuff that rhymes.
Why, you may ask? Well, all Canadian Man has to do is type in anything that has to do with Canada, and then a time limit, and he will get sucked into the Patriotism Jism device, shapeshift inside of it, and squirt out the other end like some jism, and will turn into what he just put into the device, and for the amount of time he wishes to change form. So if he wants to bulldoze some angry Canadian people who are protesting some sort of Canadian thing, he can type in or shout out thanks to Google Voice command, winky face, moose, nice. 10 seconds, and he can turn into, you guessed it, a moose, bulldozing fucking body in his wake. Or he could just shout or type Toronto Maple Leafs and pray to fuck that he turns into the hockey team and not just a plain old leaf.
Yeah, well, I'd rather turn to the leaf because the hockey team ain't going to do shit.
You might be better off with the leaf.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Some glitches include instantly making Canadian Man drunk, stripping him bollock naked, turning him into a naked female porn star with massive firm tits with a sign that says Bukkake over his head.
That sounds awesome until that last point.
A few, and all that lasts for at least 15 minutes up to 4 hours.
Oh, wow.
Glitches aside, this is a really cool, nifty gadget. By the way, do you guys actually know where Jeff goes at night? Winky face.
And he spelled out winky face, didn't he?
Twice, actually. Love you all, JG Nanny Deuce.
Thanks,
JG also included a wonderful picture of Jeff with a Canadian Maple Leaf mask on.
What? I love it.
I'll have to post that in the show notes.
Have to post that.
Make that the cover art up for the
there
show.
There you go. That's a good one.
All right. Next up, Jeff with a J, Better Tomorrow, says, if I were a superhero, I would want to do what most superheroes do, and that's clean up these streets. However, bank robbers, gangsters, and purse snatchers would not be my focus targets, no. There is a much more devious threat out there that I would work day and night to protect the children and the elderly from. Douchebags. But my feeble organic superpowers are no match against their mighty fist bump attacks and axe spray guns. So I will need the ultimate gadget, the Jersey Shore Pulverizer Deluxe 1037-in-1. And now a true superhero, in true superhero fashion, I will not be killing most of this species of human. Instead, I will use the various modes of the Jersey Shore Pulverizer 1037-in-1 to cleanse the poor individual who has not been born a douchebag, but was infected by the evil alien implant sent from the planet of MTV reality programs. or a programmatron, actually. Wow, this
programmatron, nice.
The victims can be spotted by the scar on the back of their neck left from the implant, which is disguised as an Asian character tattoo. This is how This is how the various settings of the Jersey Shore Pulverizer Deluxe 1037-in-1 works. Setting one.
Oh my god, this is a novel.
Yeah. So setting one on the pulverizer is the hat correctionizer. With a few zaps of this setting, the victim's headwear, which is usually either a golf hat that is upside down and or sideways, or in most severe cases, it's a baseball hat featuring a real
Depending
team.
Depending on the situation.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. It was a baseball hat featuring a real team, but with the wrong colors. This blast will not only correct the color of the headwear, but will also adjust so the peak of the hat will be in the front, therefore allowing it to block the sun from his eyes as per the original design. Setting number two is the shirt sleeve additionizer. This only takes one quick zap, but its effectiveness is astonishing. It will immediately, and depending on the severity of the case, do one of the following. Either add sleeves to a shirt that is supposed to be worn under another shirt as to give the impression this particular shirt is being worn in the right layer. Or if need be, will add an additional overshirt, which then allows the currently equipped sleeveless undershirt to be in its proper place on the body, under the fucking shirt. Setting number three, simply belt. In some cases, the victim may require a belt. This will give them one.
Yeah, like the motherfuckers that hang their pants down around their butt cheeks.
Yeah, get off our lawn. Setting number four, the grandma replacement. The grandma replacementizer. This is tricky. This requires an injection to the brain that works as an autocorrect for bad grammar. It will replace all the harvested words and allow the victim to speak like a normal person. For example, the word bro will be replaced with my friend. The word yo will no longer be able to end a sentence and will be replaced, with hello. And finally, the word sick. The word sick will be removed almost completely, and the brains will be consistently reminded that this word only has one meaning, which is if someone is suffering from or affected with a physical illness. That's pretty high, yo.
Oh my god.
And setting number five, you have a girlfriend who is too good for you to remember, Jesus Christ, the you have a girlfriend who is too good for you reminderizer.
Reminderizer.
Wow. This setting is meant to target large groups of gathered douchebags who are uneducated and unemployed and are sitting at home playing Call of Duty while their pregnant girlfriend with a university education is working a double shift at Burger King. This is the Devastator. This is the main cannon of this ray. It sends out a large stick with a piece of paper wrapped around it. It then finds the victim by tracking the implant in their neck and smacks them on the back of the head. The paper that explains what happened after they got kicked out on their ass and have to start paying that child support. That, my friends, is the kill shot. One thing that would be fair, I would like to not... Oh, he says he wouldn't want to be eligible to be Batman. It's a great prize, but his PC will never run it. So
he's putting himself out of the submission?
So basically, yeah. So when Jeff sees you, he'll just give you a consolation prize, which is a solid, firm slap on the ass.
Pretty much. Or draft beer of choice.
Your choice.
I'd go with the beer, to be honest with you.
I don't know. You have a good ass slaps.
Finally, the ask originator of the contest, Rob Paris, decided to go ahead and throw one in here real quick. Mm-hmm. He says, hey, guys, it's your slightly friendly Brit, Rob Paris, chiming in on your great contest. I know I can't win, but I thought I would give it my two pennies worth. Or is two pence,
two
I
pence.
Guess it would be? Two pence?
Would that be pence? Is pence a dollar or is like pence a cent?
It's something. It's weird. I don't know. It's like a it's like a loony or something like that.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy shit.
You're a loony.
My favorite superhero gadget or accessory has got to be Superman's red underpants. If you saw a man walking down the street wearing red underpants outside their trousers, would you mess with him? I know I certainly
would. Hell no.
I hope peeps like the contest and prize. Keep an eye out for more goodies, and I will be donating for more giveaways, supporting Indus for the win, Rob Paris, also known as the president of the Travis to English Dictionary Company, making great dictionaries on the reg.
Nice.
For show.
Well, that's it. That's all we have.
The whole Superman thing. Did I tell the story on here where my buddy's brother went out for Halloween as Superman?
I don't think so.
Okay. I have to tell this. I know, whatever. Topical, a little conversational. Anyway, I got to tell this. So anyway, a friend of mine, like, growing up, like, through, like, elementary school and stuff like that, his brother was kind of out there. He wasn't, like, there's something odd about him. You know, it's like he was kind of there. And he was so excited he bought a Superman costume for Halloween. And he went out one night dressed up as Superman. Walking around the streets of, I came from a city called Pickering, like kind of close to Toronto, going to bars and stuff like that, dressed up as a Superman. He was getting weird fucking looks to the point where even like cops were asking him what the hell he was doing and all this kind of shit. And he wore that costume out the day before Halloween. Because Halloween fell on a, I think it was on a Friday, and he was out on the Thursday night. So even if there is a Halloween party going on, they're going to, you know, it's going to be planned for the Friday, because obviously before the weekend or the Saturday. But it was just really fucking funny, because he actually ended up, like, pretty much drunk and in the drunk tank, because he was dressed up as Superman. And, yeah, he wore it a day early. If you knew him, it'd be a lot more funny. But, yeah.
I love it. But, yeah. I love it.
All right, let's pick a winner.
Don't lie.
I have a front runner.
No. Hold on, guys. This was this was a random generator.
Oh, this was random.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
if we were choosing the from like what was funniest, I would easily pick Shadow Hados. I think
I'd go with Shadow Hados or JJ.
I'd go with Shadow Hados or Jeff.
Oh, no,
but Jeff said he didn't want to be in.
Jeff excluded himself, so I can't. You know.
So it is based on randomness.
So random.
Yes.
This is going to be randomness? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
This is based on randomness. So I have already entered the...
And the winner is...
And the winner is number four.
Which is...
Zeke.
Congratulations, Zeke. Green Lanterns.
Right. Lanterns, yes. Because they're also...
Which actually, if I had to pick one that was already established, I think that's probably what I would pick. Just saying. I think it's really cool. I mean, anything you can imagine really comes at... You know,
that is very, very
It's pretty
true.
Awesome. So Zeke, congratulations, you are the winner. What I'm going to do get with you and get your Steam name, and
yeah,
I'm going to get that over to Rob, and he will send you the code necessary to download your game.
Cool.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
All right, do we have anything else?
Speaking of contest, I'm going to mention it now because I was supposed to mention it at the beginning of the show, but some crazy technical shit weirdness happened. Listener of ours, Tears of Ash, I'm sure people have heard of him, he made a song on Rock Band Network. And he donated a couple codes for us to give away, and I wanted to check out the actual song before we actually do this. I didn't get a chance. I tried to actually download it yesterday. I had some friggin' issues, and then today we started recording right when I got home from work. There is actually a problem with the codes that he gave us. There's not actually a problem with them. They work, but not in the way that I expected. So we're going to try to think of a way to kind of make this into some sort of contest of something. So I decided to throw that out there. So hopefully next week we'll have something on there.
More
info
on that
song either way. Yeah, it's just kind of a weird situation, which you have to figure out a way to work around it, which is going to take some thinking, but which I'll talk to you guys on break for. But,
okay, cool.
But yeah, keep an eye out for that.
All right. So are we ready to do question of the week then?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so we talked a little bit about the newest firmware update for PSN.
Yes,
so my question to you guys, or our question to you guys, is of all the online features that you get through a paid service, which ones should be paid, which ones should be free? So that's the question we for next week. If you want
to
answer,
what do you expect to pay for?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's and what do you expect to be free? That's exactly the point. So
yeah.
Both. You know, this is not a comparison. Don't start spouting off Xbox Live versus PSN. That's not the point of this. We want to know in general online features what should be paid, what should be free. What do you guys think?
What is worth your money?
There you go. To answer the question of the week, send us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You can leave us a voicemail as well. That is 706-760-4337.
It's like lead, but it is not.
Follow us on that Twitterverse. We are Indus
Pod.
That Twitterverse. We are Indus Podcast. You can follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Indus Travis, Indus Jason, and Indus Geoff.
That is Geoff. And hit us up at Indus Questions if you want like a quick offshoot of a comment or question or anything. We will get to it.
Geoff.
And the Masters of Canada.
Canada?
Yes.
What?
Interactive Distractions Podcast is our group on Facebook. So go check us out on there as well.
There's a book of faces on there. Hey, do we have a Google Plus group yet, Chris?
I don't think Google Plus does quite the same thing there yet. So
that's too bad.
But yeah, so that's it. Anything else before we wrap up and get out of here? You totally threw me off track with that. And it sounds like he's about to spit out his drink, too. That's awesome. Anything else before we get out of here?
I'm good. I'm great. Good show, guys.
Actually, you know what?
Awesome.
Since I'm scheduled, actually, to another Retroids non-podcast network / rant, I'm scheduled to be on there the day this releases. So on Monday night, they do a live show. So check out that if you go to Retroids.com and other networks. Check out /rant. They probably have all the information there. So, yeah, and Chris, you got
on that note, yeah, game. I'm going to be on Irrational Pod, Irrational Passions podcast on for next week's show. They record tomorrow night, so I should be doing that.
Cool.
Check it out. All right, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. If you're on iTunes or Zoom Marketplace, please leave us a review. And check us out at Richroids. Visit our forums. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, forums are good, especially not banned.
So until next time, my name is Chris.
Quit being a douche, Jeff. I'm Travis, by the way.
I can't believe I got banned from a forum at 32 years old.
And that's Jeff.
Play your games, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take it easy.